Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, but I do have an It's a Word, so we're going to do the It's a Word later on. And but first, I got to tell you about how my week's been. It's been really good. It's been nice, decent. Had a good week. Guess what I got to watch? Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour. You know, listen, y'all going to be surprised, but I was kind of upset that I didn't, like, I was kind of upset, man. Yesterday, I was like, I should have probably went to this. And see this live. Okay, so I have so much to say about the Eras Tour. I knew some Taylor Swift songs beforehand, okay? But it was interesting listening to her going through 17 years of Taylor Swift stuff, okay? And I get it. I said to y'all this week, I said I was going to talk about Taylor Swift being the Steph Curry of the music industry, meaning people think that what Steph do is easy, like making threes. It looks easy because Steph makes it look so easy. And that's what Taylor Swift does. If you watch the Eras Tour, she's like the girl next door who every girl can relate to. She's not so far off that you don't think you can do it yourself. You know? Her singing voice is okay, but it's the... But where the skill is, the mad skill, and listen, I was listening, his songwriting. And I've said this before, but no, now I'm like, damn. I mean, I was listening to the songs, and I was like, oh, yeah, she deserved them Album of the Years and Records of the Years. That girl can write. No Beyonce, not Bootylicious stuff. No. She's a songwriter. I mean, listen, what she don't have in her voice, she make up all in that pen, baby. That pen is dope. And not only this is another thing I kind of realized about Taylor Swift that I kind of, like, forgot. She's a musician, not just vocally, but she plays instruments. Oh, my God. Listen, okay, let me just say this, okay? I know we talked on here before about the stories back in the day about allegedly being, you know, having some problems with racial issues and stuff like that. I hope Sis ain't still, you know, I doubt it, dating Travis Kelce, but but let me just say this, okay? I kind of became a Swiftie watching the Eras Tour. I was like, I was getting it. You know, I was kind of Swiftie when she was at the Chiefs games. I was like, oh, yeah, you're a Chiefs fan. I kind of like that. because of Travis. And we're going to talk about Travis Kelce later on when I talk about the album. We talk about her new album coming out, okay? But I got it. Like they were showing all the little girls in the audience, every little girl, every adult woman, everybody was singing the song. Like they knew all the words. And here is a couple of things. Okay, so let me just say this. In her life, she may be a bitch. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I can't, you know. But on stage, she gets like customer service. She's that girl, okay? There's only one other person. Let me give you another person who was great on stage. I always say Luther. I love Luther, how he interacted with his audience. Oh, my God. Nobody like Luther. There's a lot of people I like who interact with their audience really well. Maxwell, my fave, does. He really does. He's always so grateful. I'm so thankful. He's always thankful and grateful. It kind of like, you know, looks like he's humble. Like, that's the Steve's. I believe him, though. I believe there's, like, that's part of the Gemini, one of the Gemini characters. I believe that. Yeah, the shy Steve or whatever, shy, humble guy or whatever. It depends. I mean, I think that it depends on the hair because, like, I've realized because while I was watching other concerts, I said, there's a short hair guy. The short hair guy is grateful and stuff, but he's more steamy. And then the Afro guy is steamy but really sweet and, oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe you all like me, right? So I like his interaction. Taylor has an interaction of, you guys are here to see me. Oh, I'm so grateful. Like, she's really, now what I would, like, she's really good at selling off theatrically her whole act. I mean, she didn't come out looking like a robot, looking like she was in a daze, like somebody had to wind her up to be out there, Beyonce. She looks like she's, like, literally having fun. She really takes you back to when she wrote a song. Like, I believe her. Like she said, it doesn't seem like it, putting her name on songs. It seems like she is sitting there with her little pen writing. Because I could see probably she might have been an awkward girl or something. You know what I'm saying? And she's developed into this massive superstar. So I was getting the whole Taylor Swift vibe. I was understanding it finally. You know, y'all know how I used to talk about Taylor Swift on here, about her non-singing? And Kanye making her the, you know, the famous bitch whisperer. You know, you make everybody famous. But listen. Listen, y'all like, wait a minute, Carlotta. You went from being a big Beyonce fan to not being one. It's not that I'm not a Beyonce fan. It's just that I have heavy criticisms for Beyonce, okay? I like Beyonce, but I can tell that a lot of this shit's contrived and a lot of this shit's, you know, that's what I don't like about Beyonce. Always trying to prove yourself because you're trying to prove yourself because you know your shit's contrived, right? So it's like when you know who you are, you're not doing all that, you know. And but y'all don't know that because y'all bought into the hype, okay? But certain people just ain't bought into the hype, okay? So, but Taylor Swift, it's more of it feels even though there's stuff behind Taylor Swift too, but it feels more natural. I enjoyed it. Even the corny parts, like she was corny. There was certain little corny parts, and then I loved that she was on stage in flats and little thick heels. She was like a normal girl. And then she really had little sexy, and then she had sexy time with her sexy heel boots and stuff. Everybody has a little Janet in them. Janet, y'all all owe Janet checks, okay? And Taylor, I saw Janet. I saw I saw some Beyonce with the leotards. Beyonce should get money for leotards. Beyonce has introduced the world back to cat suits and leotards. Beyonce deserves a check, okay? And Beyonce, to me, what does she bring to music that I love about Beyonce? Sexual energy, okay? Now, the only chick I think out here that can get with Taylor Swift's writing pen, and it's not because I'm not a big, huge fan of her music. There's two of them. There's two chicks. And to me, wait a minute, hold on. And I'm not a big fan of her either. But I'm a pop. Listen, this is one of the things you're going to find out about me, okay? I like corny pop music. You know, I'm the chick that still be listening to on my iPod, like, when you get caught between the moon and New York City. The Arthur theme. All right. What's the song? What's the two-piece song? Something's telling me it might be you. All of my life, I've been watching. I like stuff like that. When I think about those nights in Montreal, what's that song? I get the sweetest thoughts of you and me. Ooh. That background's cold on that. What's the memories of love and life go on and on? I forget the words. I try so hard to get it. I still listen to that stuff. I love soft rock pop. So Taylor Swift, I feel Taylor Swift in all kind of ways. I'm like, yes. And you know one of my favorite songs by Taylor Swift? Wildest Dreams. I love that damn song. She said, let's get out of this town. Go out of the city, away from the crowd. I thought, something can't stop me down. Nothing is forever. But this is going to take me down. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. See, every girl can relate to that look. She writes like Sex and the City. That's what it is. She writes like a little bit of sex, like a musical Sex in the City. And when we've had our big, like, she can write about, she writes about a one-night stand where it sounds kind of innocent, or a small affair that where you know the guy is not going to stay, but you're like, you know what, this shit is so, he's so fine. I know he ain't shit. But you know what, I'm about to go. I am about to dance. What I say, what's my favorite thing? With the devil. Taylor's a Lilith and Scorpio too, okay? I'm going to dance with the devil. Taylor writes that very well. In Wildest Dreams, what she says in the sun, what does she say? Say you'll remember me standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset. Sunset, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Yes! You better write. You better put that piece. Beyonce, you can't fuck with it. Her pen is too tight. That's why you not doing it. You really don't write that, and it's okay. You just got to find your voice and who you are. Like Beyonce, I said Beyonce be on the shit. They had to hype this shit up, literally, and Beyonce, he be hivers and stuff, hyped it. But that country shit. And listen, Beyonce's vocals are decent. They're very good. I don't think Beyonce's one of my favorite vocalists, but the vocals on the album is hot. I ain't saying that. I didn't like Jolene, the country songs, because the country songs sound soulless. It sounds like she doesn't really sing country music. So she sounds like this chick, a chick who's reading. Like when you go to the karaoke bar and you learn a song, and you're like, he said, let's get out of this town. Like, you reading the words. That's what it sounds like with Jolene and stuff. Well, if you heard the original Jolene, it's, you know, it got soul. It's got, and of course, Dolly going to say it got, she okay with, because Dolly want to sell them units, okay? Dolly wants some cash, okay? But I just don't like Beyonce singing country. I'm just going to be honest with you, even though she's from Houston. But I always tell people she don't know too much about, she probably closest she's been to the country is the rodeo. Let me stop. Beyonce comes from a nice, well-to-do little family, okay? So she tried to tell y'all off that she was milking cows and shit. She's a damn liar. And I used to go to Houston when I was little. I had family in Houston. Houston wasn't all that. I mean, it was country, but it was a major city. Come on now. Now, where my cousins and stuff lived was country. They had a little pond in their backyard, a little swamp pond. And he used to go, let's go down to the swamp. I remember. That was country. That bitch was living up there in the 80s. They was living in the suburbs, the mini mansion, before they was popular probably. Beyonce does not know nothing about it. She trying to tell y'all she from kind of like she was out there milking some cows and riding horses. Maybe she had to ride a couple of horses or something when they go a little rodeo, go a little something. Beyonce don't know nothing about no country child, okay? We ain't going to start that. Beyonce from Houston. She sounds country. She sounds country because she is from the South. But she's from a major city, a suburb in the South, okay? I'm probably more country than Beyonce, okay? I'm from the Midwest, okay? And I got family all down in the country where it's a real country. For the good kids. I remember our first night, and I'm kind of boozy, okay? My family was lower, not upper middle class. Like Beyonce was lower middle class. So I used to go to, and the kids in the country, when I go to the country visit my great-great-grandfather for them, it was some kids that lived up the road. And the first time I remember they came to the house to play with me and stuff. And so I was like, what y'all eating? And it was like, butter and crackers. And I was like, butter and crackers? I was like, Grandma, I want some butter and crackers. My grandma was like, this is some country shit. They done introduced my baby to butter and crackers. That's country. Okay? Butter and crackers. Okay? That's a little in Wheatley, Arkansas. Okay, baby? So Beyonce up here trying to make y'all think she's down there rolling up cowboys and just rounding up. She's full of shit. But anyway, okay, well, let me talk about Tay-Tay, okay? Let me tell you, Beyonce, you need to give love to Taylor Swift because, listen, I didn't realize, and I'm going to give her love. I'm going to give this girl love because I ain't no hater. Y'all think I be hating on Beyonce. No, I be just talking about Beyonce's contrived and full of shit. But I'm not hating. Taylor, I can't hate on her. Taylor Swift has already did what Beyonce's doing. That's what Taylor Swift, she said on her Eras tour or something, and I said, this is where that heifer done got the idea to do this. She says, she has a part in the tour thing, and she says, I want to thank you guys for letting me go through every genre, do different genres. And I said, bitch, you are doing different genres. She done did a little bit of country. She done did a little bit of, and she, you know, she really don't sound all that country either, but more than Beyonce, okay? Country, she did pop. She did a little bit of little slices of R&B in there because, you know, pop has got a lot of little slices of R&B. Taylor has literally done all kind of genres, folk songs, everything. Kelfa, that's what you're trying to do. That's hilarious. I love it. It's the craziest stuff ever. But really, she don't really have to do it. You really don't got to try so hard. That's what's annoying about Beyonce. I really literally don't think Taylor Swift is trying very hard. I think this is really Taylor Swift. I mean, if you listen to all them pop songs, she got a pen like Diane Warren. If she's writing all these songs, that girl got a pen like Warren, and I get it. That's why she keep winning Album of the Year. She can write her ass off. Record of the Year. It's as much about songwriting as it is anything. Now, I was saying two people who can get with her, songwriting-wise, and I don't really, that's Black, and I don't tend to really, I don't roll with them both much. But I can give them love for their pen because they got mad pen skills. SZA should have won, I would say, a little bit, because SZA was unusual, unique, and she stayed on the charts so long at number one. I don't know why she ain't got the hype Beyonce got, because Beyonce was like number 30 on the charts or something like that. Beyonce wasn't even that big, but y'all gave her hype like her ass was staying on the charts for 28 weeks. That's how you can know it's a lot of bullshit behind Beyonce. Because Beyonce was, Renaissance came out, rolled out here like she was on the charts for 20-something weeks like that girl SZA was. That girl SZA was going around literally giving sold-out shows and everything. Even Lizzo was big like that. Okay, so Lizzo got mad skills writing too, okay? We know NDIRE do. I'm not going to even, we don't even got to go there, okay? They're probably up there to me, right along with Taylor Swift, okay? Another girl, Jasmine Sullivan. Got to give her her shit. That album, she wrote a lot. I don't know how much of that she wrote. They said she wrote a lot of stuff. That heifer, she wrote that other album. I mean, the uniqueness of it. I'm not a big Jasmine. You know, I listen to Jasmine a lot. I like, what's that song, the one she remade with, for After Seven? What's the song? What was it? The After Seven song. With After Seven. I want to be into you, baby. Call me crazy, but I think I found the love of my life. That's right. Have you ever felt warm on a cold, cold night? How it hits you when you least expect it, and you can't reject it. Oh, that album, you better say. Actually, just a cold song. I like the words, okay? I'm a lyrics person. So, yeah, she got a bad pen, too, and she wrote a couple of songs for other people. So her pen is dope. So it is some black girls out here that can run Taylor Swift, give Taylor Swift a run for her fucking money with some pen. Victoria Monet's ass? Yes. Okay? So it is some, well, you know, now I can see them yelling about racial injustice and stuff. Beyonce, your pen ain't that great. And, you know, it takes 25 people to write Alien Superstar. That's why they be ignoring you and shit. I mean, it's not that everybody who had, you know, Album of the Year and stuff like that always has great, writers. That's not true. It's been some dope doozies over the years at the Grammys. But most of the time, I think the Grammys tend to like songwriting skills. So I think that's why they shut Beyonce a lot out of that, because they know the steez on Beyonce. They know Beyonce maybe writes a little, but maybe not. She's not the big dog. Taylor Swift is something very different. Another person who's like that, who would have been like that, is Alicia Keys. You know? Alicia Keys would have been a shit, you know, a lot of shit happened, okay? But Alicia Keys has got, you know, that skill set too. She can write. She can write. But the problem, I don't know what's going on with Alicia Keys over the last several years, you know? I know what's going on, but I just, you know, ain't no sense in me talking about it no more and shit. I did a whole dissertation on Alicia Keys' ass, okay? Wish her luck in life and blessings. But, yeah, it's very hard when you're not, like, such, you don't have that set, that skill set. And I totally get Taylor Swift now. I totally do. I'm totally can't wait till Poet Society, Tortured Poet Society comes out. Oh, my God. I even loved the name when I heard it. I was like, that is a dope name. Now, do I think Taylor Swift bites off of some of the, a lot of the black writers and stuff? Oh, my God, yes. You could tell that her ear is too, some of the great black songwriters, especially in neo-soul. You can hear little things that you wouldn't think a girl, I bet if I had a discussion with her where she writes very, don't get me wrong, very valley girl, white girlish, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, like a Sex and the City writer, but she's got certain things that she says in her music, certain stuff that makes me think that she has been influenced by black music, black songwriters, stuff like that, okay? So, yeah, I get it now. I'm not going to – it's like I had to watch the documentary of Justin Bieber before I got it. At first I was like, listen, babe, what's all this shit? But when I went to go see it, I was like, oh, okay. But now with Taylor, I really get it. I get it. I can't hate on it. All right. So, you guys, when we get back up in back here, we're going to get to talking about some of the news and everything like that. Oh, first I got to do y'all, It's the Word. Oh, my God, It's the Word. Okay, I got it. It's the Word. Even though I don't got no show, I'm doing this off the top of my head tonight. I don't have no show, but I've got to give y'all It's the Word for tonight. Okay, so it came to me. I was like, dang, what am I talking about with when I was in the shower? I was like, what's going to be out? It's the Word. I need to have an It's a Word for everybody. And I thought about, because we're going to be talking about this a little later on, okay? I think we're going to talk about it. I don't know. But it seems like some of the stories coming up may have some sort of ties to it. But I want to say there's twofold to what my it's a word is be careful who gives into your life and be careful who you give to, okay? So let's start first off with be careful who you give to, okay, or who you sow into their lives, okay? Me and my girlfriend was talking one night, and I think I've talked about this on the show before. I talked to one of my girlfriends one night, and we were talking about how, like, you know, when you give and everything. She was like, her mom said to her one time, said, dang, I should be rich, you know, with all the giving I do and all this stuff. And she said, I just wonder, she said this to her mom, why we ain't got what we need to be having, why all this stuff. And her mama said, because we sow into bad ground, baby. You got to quit sowing. We got to sow it to the seeds that you, where you have expectation or expect to get back, or you give and then you walk away, right? You know what I'm saying? But if you're giving intentionally, know sometimes what you're intentionally giving to and all these things, okay? So what I want to say is be careful what you give to. There's a couple of things. I'm going to have two little folds here. When you sow into people's lives, especially people you know, sometimes we be knowing, like we sowing into bad ground. Like, you know, you sowing bad seed. You know in the Bible where it talks about sowing seed in the ground. Let me see if I can pull that up. Huh, let me see that. So we could, because it actually, I'd rather read it to y'all that way y'all can get it. Okay. I can find it here. Hold on. We'll find it. That way, y'all, it's a word to make more sense. The first word. Okay. Okay. I think I found it. Okay, this one's from Matthew 13:23, and it says, "But the seed falling on good soil." Let me see. I don't want that translation. I would like the King James. Okay, he said, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold." Okay, that cuts out. Okay, let me see. Okay, the seed sown among, this starts off at 22, the seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but worries that of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the seed sown on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 34. Let me see if I can find the rest of this here, because that's not exactly. Still other seed fell on good soil where it sprang up. Okay. That's the one. Still other seeds fell on good ground. Let me see. Y'all, hold on. I'm going to get it. I'm trying to get this so y'all can understand. I should have had this ready. Y'all like, Carlotta, why you haven't really? I wasn't expecting it. I told you I didn't have no show. You can find it. Find the whole thing. Okay. Okay, this is half of it, but it says still. It talks about where the different seeds in the Bible, like, you know, where Jesus was talking to people about how they sow their seeds, and it says this is in Matthew 13:8-23. It says still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And y'all still won't be getting it. Let me see. Okay, y'all still won't get me what I'm trying to say. So let me try to figure it. Let me find it. I'm gonna try to find the whole thing for y'all, so y'all don't think I'm crazy. Okay. Okay. I think I'm there. I'm almost there. Hold on, y'all. Be patient with me tonight. Okay. Here we go. Okay, we're almost there. Okay. Okay, such loud crowds. This is 13:2, Matthew 13:2, okay? And it says, such loud crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and set in while the people stood on the shore. Then he told many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. Okay, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on a rocky, and this is, Jesus is referring to the word of God here, like how people have the words snatched out of their lives, and, you know, like sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. Some people come to church and they might be like, oh, yeah, I felt what they said today, but then go on about their life another way. Like they may have sowed a seed for a moment, then it went away. But this is what he's talking about. But I'm going to tell you how you can apply it just for your life, regular life, okay? But it says, this seed, the evil one comes snatches away what was in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. It's the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes by the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Okay, so now why I read that specific thing, Jesus was talking about the word of God, but he gives an exclusive parable beforehand talking about sowing seed, and that's always a big thing in the Bible, okay? I went to Oral Roberts University, so back in the day, so sowing seed, it was drawn into it. It was like they used to beat that into us. Not beat it, like literally, but we hear it every day, like seed sowing, faith sowing, like you, who you sow your seed into, how you sow your seed. I mean, because it was a big thing. Seed faith was huge at Oral Roberts University, okay? If you know anything about the ministry of Oral Roberts, you know that seed faith was a huge thing, okay? So what he's saying is, hey, you have to sow your seed in things that are going to produce a good thing. Well, he was talking about the word of God, producing the word of God in your life when you hear it and it falls on good ground and stuff like that. Well, I'm talking about when you, in just your everyday life, when you're giving to someone or giving to anything, making sure it is going on ground that is going to produce for you fruit. Not that you're giving it to just, when people give away, there's so many people, I remember there was this, I'll just say athlete I knew, okay? And he was so on anything. Like they had bad investments and everything. And a lot of things ate up his investments, okay, ate up his money because he wasn't, so he was trying to, so busy trying to help everyone, but he wasn't discerning about how that seed was sown, you know what I'm saying, and who it was sown to. So what I say is when you give, make sure, if you can, because not all the time will you be, I'll always be able to make sure you can, but most of the time when you're sowing seed into organizations, someone's life, or someone's this and that, make sure you're sowing seed on good ground, ground that is going to yield for you fruit or a harvest or what you, because when you sow seed, what my friends what my friend's mother was saying is when we sow into things and people that don't produce, it jacks up our investment. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't end up, now not all the time will we, sometimes we'll just give for the kindness of our heart, but when you're giving intentionally with something in mind to produce a harvest in somebody's life, you got to make sure you're sowing on good ground. Now, here's the next thing about giving. One time I went to a grocery store, okay, I can tell you this little lesson. My grandfather, I was probably like 19 or something like that. And so we were coming out the grocery store, and it was a girl with her baby in a thing. And she's like, can I get some money, you know, whatever? And I was like, oh, my God. I felt bad. So I gave her like $20, right? And, I wasn't going to think anything for it. So me and my grandfather, we were walking. And I said, God, I hope she's really going to buy something for that baby. I hope she ain't no crackhead. And I remember my grandpa said, did you give her the $20? I was like, yeah. He said, and you gave it to her because you felt like that's what God wanted you to do? I said, yeah. He said, well, leave it with whatever she do with it is on her, okay? However she does that, you know, give, that's not your concern. Your concern is that you were obedient and you did what you were supposed to do. But how she produces that, how she sows that is her business. Now, sometimes there are times in life when you give to people and you don't know and you won't ever know the production or what is going to come from that. You just have to give and walk away, okay? There are times when you led to give for no apparent reason, and you got to know the difference, okay? But when you are intentionally giving, then you need to know what you're producing, okay, or what's coming out of that. Like if you're saying, hey, you got somebody in your family, you say, I want to give them money to go to college, okay? Now you know they a fool. You know they been, you know that it's highly unlikely they going to take their ass to college, okay? So you want to make sure that they are, if that is something you're led to do, or is that, you know, or are you, if you give to them, you want to make sure that they're going to produce for you good ground. They're going to finish school so that you're going to see your faith work in their life, and that will also work for you. But sometimes we'll be sowing into dead things, like you go give somebody some college money, and you know they flighty, right? And you just get mad watching, frustrated watching them not do nothing with the college money you gave them, right? You getting angry and stuff. You're like, dang, but that's causing frustration and lack in your life, okay? So be careful how and to get, when you're giving intentionally and when you give, when you're led to give and stuff on the spur of the moment. Also give without expectation. Sometimes you gotta know the difference when you're discerning about when you're giving with expectation and without expectation, okay? Because there are times when you give with intention and expectation, right? All right, and because when people always say, oh, I don't, you just give, you don't expect something back. That ain't what and people say the Bible say that. I say, I don't know what Bible y'all reading, because everybody, most of the time, seed, that's what sowing seed is. It's expecting back a harvest. When you go sow, if you go sow tonight some corn crops or whatever, I don't know what it is, a tomato crop, I don't know how you sow. But listen, you expect to get some corn and some tomato, right? Because you're going out there intentionally sowing into the ground. So you, if you go out there after, when the harvest is done, ain't nothing out there, then you're going to be like, what? That there is times that you do give. So people lie when they say, oh, that God wants you to give without expectation. Sometimes God does. But most of the times in the Bible, there is always intentionally giving. Seed faith, especially when it talks about seed faith and giving seed. And that's not the only place where Jesus just talked about the word of God. But there are times in the Old Testament and stuff like that where they talk about parables of seeds and sowing, okay? So when you're sowing into somebody's life, there's always expectation. I mean, the whole Christianity, if you're looking at Christianity, I mean, it's all kind of faith out here, but Christianity is built on seed, faith, expectation. You accept Christ with the expectation of heaven. It's not about reward, okay? So there are times when you are intentionally giving, and that, you know, I hope y'all get it, okay? Now, my next second fold is be careful who gives into your life. Because all money ain't good money. Hey, my family used to say this all the time. Yeah, our money ain't good money, okay? Now, I joke on here, you know, I be joking on here about the OnlyFans, young Miami when she was in that 250, allegedly, or whatever. But the truth is you really do have to pay attention to why people want to sow into your life or sow into your – sometimes you may have somebody come along and say, hey, you know what, I want to invest in you. I want to help you. You really have to make sure that people are on the same page with you, what their expectations are of you, everything, because some people could be investing in your life expecting a whole different return than from the return you're expecting to give, okay? So you have to be careful about people. It's just like sometimes you have dudes like people back in the day when you used to have sometimes back in the early days. I don't know how they do it now, you new school, but back in the days, they used to tell you, be careful with dudes in the street. You know, concrete, I got a hood. A lot of my family hood. Some of them bougie, some of them hood, okay? And they would tell you, be careful when you're dealing with certain street dudes and stuff, because they'd be like, if they want to give you, if they just out of sudden plowing you with gifts and stuff, watch it. You know what I'm saying? Even the men in my family, just my grandfather didn't play that stuff. Like, why are you giving you that? Why are you giving you that? Right? Not just because of sex, but that sometimes it would be dudes back in the day trying to pimp you out and shit. So once they give you all this stuff to butter you out, to get ready to pimp you out, this is true. So sometimes you always have to ask why. All money ain't good money, even if it seems good, okay? So sometimes you have to understand why people are selling in your life. Now, sometimes you may have a – one time when I was at Oral Roberts University, let me talk about this. I was at ORU, and I was working for Lindsay Roberts for my little thing. I forget what it was, my little office thing, and I would go to programs. We helped set up the programs. We man, like, certain things in the office or something like that, different students and everything. And so I went to this Lindsay Roberts program. I was dressed, okay? I'm telling you, I was dressed. In a $200 suit. Back in those days, that was expensive, okay? It was, because that was in the 90s, right? $200-some suit. I was dressed. I had some expensive heels on. I had on I looked like I had money. And it was, you know, it was really something my grandmother bought, you know, stuff like that. And I had the clothes. I had the thing. But that week, I had not got my money on time, my check, and I didn't want to ask my grandparents for it and stuff like that, and I was trying to go home for something. I forget. So I'm sitting at this program, okay? True story. These white ladies tap me on the back, and she goes, God told me to give this to you. Hands me a thing full of cash. I was like, oh, my God. It was what I need to go home plus some. I was like, what? I didn't know them ladies from boo-hoo, boo-boo, blue. And I didn't look like I was broke, okay? I was like, oh, my God, thank you, or something like that. They was like, just don't worry about it. Just God told you, just give that to you. Okay. Now, I felt at that moment, I felt peace about it, okay, because I knew, and that stuff used to happen at ORU all the time. What I'm just saying to you, there are times like that where people just still in your life from random, and you don't have time to vet them, and I don't know nothing about it. To this day, I don't know who those ladies were, okay? And even one time I went to, I was on my way to, I was at ORU, so Oral Roberts University. I was going to Walmart, and in Walmart was Kathy Tricoli. No joke. Heard her band, Kathy Tricoli. If you know who Kathy, people know Kathy Tricoli is a gospel big time. She used to be like Amy Grant and big time, like Dove gospel thing. I'm like, is that Kathy Tricoli? Which was so trip, was such a trip, because I have been listening that whole week to Your Life Is In My Hands. That was my song for that week. And I go over to Walmart, and there's me and my friends like, there's Kathy Tricoli. We're like, oh. Right? And so she's so nice. We don't have no money to go to a concert. You know what she does? She don't even know we don't have no money. She meets us, and she says, are you guys going to the concert tonight? Gives us the tickets to the concert. Gives us tickets to go to the show. Okay, so listen. Sometimes people sow seeds in your life that you'll never know. They'll never, you won't know them. They won't know you, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So there are times when you accept gifts where you won't be able to vet, and you'll have to discern that in your life. But when you are able to vet, please watch and be careful who you take gifts and money, or who, not just money, or who sows even advice, who sows. And listen, I know today they got a lot of you young people thinking that people who don't have no money can't sow no advice into your life. That ain't no truth. That ain't true. That's not true. Some of the best advice I have ever gotten in my life was from a woman. I had a spiritual mom. She's passed away now, gone home to be with the Lord. But she was broke. She used to minister to people on the street. Like, that was her ministry. She ministered in church. People loved in church. She'd go to church, big old church, mega church. People loved and thought of her as the prophetess of the house. Sometimes she wouldn't have no money. People bring her by money. People gift her and bless her and stuff like that. But she would give you some of the most powerful spiritual, powerful advice, is sometimes from God, right? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you will get advice from people who have less than you, or people who may even haven't experienced much for as much of you, as much as you, but God may give them a word for you, okay? So don't deny people blessing your life because you think they ain't got nothing, or you young people today do that shit. Y'all real stupid, because it's a lot of dummies that got money. It's a lot of dummies that got that give out stuff and everything. Y'all, it's for real. It's a lot of dummies, and y'all do this. But sometimes your blessing may come for somebody who ain't got nothing. Your blessing, you may be walking down the street and God speak to you through a bum. You know what I'm saying? God can speak through anybody, okay? But sometimes you can be getting bad advice from people who got all the money in the world and look like they know it all and everything like that and don't know nothing, okay? So that's why I'm saying you have to discern who speaks into your life and who doesn't, okay? And that you have to ask God for discernment about that. But don't always accept people who even just see how they speak into your life and how they talk into your life, okay? Because sometimes people can put a word in your life. I was looking at, there was something about myself the other day, because I'm going through this thing where I'm like, you know, what's the people's name? It's an old gospel song they had. I got to clean up what I done messed up. So I've been going back through my life, like, say, whoa, how did I end up with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's this song about the canned spirituals. Yeah, cleaned up what I done messed up. That's what I'm doing right now. So I was thinking about a conversation I had in my 20s with some women, right, and who are older than me. And I realized that something one of them said to me sent me on a path that I thought was the right path, but that shit was fucked up when I really looked at it. I was like, oh, that shit, what she said didn't make no sense. I just thought about it the other day, but I didn't think that had much of an influence on me, but it did. And it was a conversation, I shouldn't even listen to this person, but it was my need to please, my need to be like, oh, I don't want people to think I'm this, I don't want people to think I'm that, and it caused me to make some crazy decisions that I shouldn't have made. So sometimes you have to be careful of who is sowing into your life and who is speaking into your life. If they ain't speaking into your, if you don't feel it in your spirit, if you're not sure of it, if you, and everything like that, don't accept, reject that shit, okay? That's what I'm just saying to y'all, all right? All right, so that's y'all, it's the word. I hope y'all get it. I hope y'all understand it. And I hope it works for you, okay? All right, so when I get back, we're going to get into some of this stuff that's dry. Chad, we got so much to talk about. We got to talk about Mr. Lil Aoki out in these streets. Come get your ass out of Bali and go get your child. Go get your baby. What? Oh, we got to talk about that. Oh, my God, we got so much stuff. It's just going to be crazy. I'm going to just be talking about some of everything, okay? Even, like, news stories. I might be sporadic if we even talk news stories, okay? So when we get back, we're going to get into all this news that's coming out here. We're talking about Israel and Israel, U.S. believe Iran is about to retaliate. We're going to talk about that. A whole lot of stuff. Kia and Cam Newton is still out here fighting over this 2018 Bentley child. I don't know what's going on there. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more when I get back on the CC show. Meanwhile, let's listen. What are we going to listen to, child? I don't know. What are we going to listen to? Let's start it off with, I thought I had this song up. Okay, I'm going to have to change it up. Okay, let's start it off with News for You, Eric Benet. It's the CC Show. I'll be back in a moment, y'all, okay?
Ones are hard to find. Said you won't settle for less than your heart is asking. And life's too precious just to be wasting time. Disappointment is something that's so familiar. You get them hopes up high to watch them fall again. So you stop trying to find your one in a million, yeah. And the language of your love can't nobody comprehend.
When listen to this, I got news for you.
Thought you never feel that you were flying like the world was far below us. You said there's no way that I could take you higher still.
satisfy for you. I thought I like you, that bitch, I do it all, and I'm around, you scared to do it. I'm not, as long as you joking, now here for me, I ain't got it. Mobbing, scheming, looting, hide your body. As long as you dreaming about me, ain't no problem. I don't got nobody just with you right now. Tell the truth, I look better under you. I can't lose when I'm with you. How can us lose and miss the moment? You just too important. Nobody, nobody like you do. I can't lose when I'm with you. I can just lose and miss the moment. You just too important. Nobody, nobody like you do. In the drop top ride with you, I feel like Scarface. Like that white bitch with the bob, I'll be your main one. Just chase this argument back up to my place. Sex remind you I'm not violent, I'm your day one. We had it, yeah, it was magic, yeah. Magic grabs it, yeah. Nasty habits take a hold when you're not here. Ain't a home when you're not here. Hard to grow when you're not here, I'm saying. I can't lose.
With news, it's the CC show. I am back. Child, okay, so we gonna get into this news and these hot topics. Okay, if you're on the line tonight, I may try to answer a call or so. I may, because I'm really recording and I'm really not trying to like do the call tonight. But okay, I may. It's just like how my time is rolling, okay? All right, so but thank y'all for tuning into the live show, though. I appreciate it, okay? All right, so, okay, let's get into some of this news here. What can we talk about first? Okay, did y'all see that game the other day between Al and the women's basketball game? Oh, my God. Man, first of all, I was hurt. You know, I already had watched LSU, was hurt when LSU lost to Iowa. You know, I was kind of expecting that. We talked about that already, how we, you know, I felt about the Angel Reese situation and stuff like that. And if we get time to later on today, because Angel Reese has decided, she decided to join the WNBA draft or whatever, but we may hit on that story about people getting upset with Acho or whatever, Acho from I forget the sports show, but we may have time to talk about that. But if y'all saw that game, oh my God, it was such a good game. UConn and Owl yesterday. I mean, listen, shout out to that young lady Miko. Woo, girl, that girl balled the whole game. Hell, Caitlin Clark's ass down. You hear me? Caitlin couldn't score unless she was away from Miko. And she scored a little bit, but it was because Miko was getting there late, okay? Miko was balling, okay? Miko wasn't trying to go home, okay? She was trying to get to that championship game, but unfortunately UConn lost on a terrible, terrible call at the end. Oh, man, I was heartbroken with that call. I was like, no! Oh, I mean, yeah. an illegal screen, I don't know. A lot of people did not like it. A lot of people saying rigged. A lot of people was upset. Me and shout out to Tara, we was talking about it on Twitter. It hurt. Hopefully, South Carolina, you know, y'all do y'all business. But I was some scrappy girls, though. I got to give it to them, okay? It was a heartbreaker at the end, okay? So, yeah, but anyway, especially for UConn, it's sad to see you go down like that, okay? But let's talk about South Carolina's women's coach who was at the game the other day. She's been doing a lot of interviews. She's been doing out here doing a whole lot of interviews and talking and stuff. So it says South Carolina's women's hoop coach Don Staley says transgender athletes should be allowed to play. Now, my personal opinion with Don Staley, I bet she surprised the press with this because my personal opinion, they got at her with that question because she'd been running around here talking about a lot of her faith and stuff. And so I think they was trying to get her, you know, get a moment because they think, you know, trying to assume how she was going to answer. And she answered in a way y'all didn't expect, okay? That's just my personal opinion, okay? But this is from the AP. It says, Associated Press, it says South Carolina's women's basketball coach Don Staley said Saturday that she believes transgender athletes should be allowed to compete in women's sports. Staley was asked at a news conference the day before her unbeaten Gamecocks play hour for the national championship, her opinion on the issue, okay? I'm of the opinion that if you're a woman, you should play, Staley said. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. Now, that's a very interesting. Did she say she should play? Should they play women's sports? She wouldn't even answer. That's kind of a weird way she did. Ooh. Let me finish reading that. I understand it's a topic that people are interested in, but today my focus is on the game. Tomorrow my player's buzzer said, it's an important game we have tomorrow, and that's what I want to be here to talk about. But I know it's an important issue for another time, okay? But they was trying to get you, okay? The toxic heat has become a hot-button issue among conservative groups and others who believe transgender athletes should not be allowed to compete on girls' and women's sports teams. Last month, more than a dozen current and former women college athletes filed a federal lawsuit against NCAA accusing college sports of governing body of violating rights, their rights by allowing transgender women to compete in women's sports. At least 20 states have approved a version of a blanket ban on transgender athletes playing kindergarten through 12th in college sports teams statewide. But a Biden administration proposal to forbid such outright ban is set to be finalized this year after multiple delays and much pushback. Has proposed the rule would establish the blanket bans would violate Title IX and the landmark gender equity. Legislation enacted in 1972, okay? Let me just say this, okay? I don't think nobody who wasn't born a woman should be playing against women. You have an unfair advantage. And that is not that has nothing to do with about feelings about transgender or not. If you were born a man, you are born with a different makeup than a woman who is somebody who's born a woman. So it's very hard for me to see to think that men can play. Men who are now women can play in professional sports that were made for women who were born biologically. It's just very hard. That's why they have the separation of sports, men and women's sports, okay, because it's harder for women to play with men. Men have a more build, a bigger, you know, a different build than women. They have a different strength, all these kind of things. I don't know. I'm just not for it. But, then, you know, maybe somebody could talk me into it. But right now, I don't see that. I don't see that. That seems unfair. Okay, and I know she's trying to be nice. She didn't really know how. She really didn't answer that question the way y'all think she did. She said, if you're a woman, you think you're a woman, you should be allowed to play. She didn't say where you should be allowed to play at. Okay, She didn't say, yeah, I think you should be able to play in college sports, women's college sports. She didn't say that. I see how people answer. Okay. Then she turned around and said, well, that's for another day. Okay. But I know it was a trick question trying to get her because a lot of times this week she's been asking about her faith. And so sometimes you have reporters out there who try to get people who are openly big in their faith and stuff to kind of do trick questions to get at them for having a faith if they don't believe in transgender or homosexuality, stuff like that. Okay, that happens a lot. Okay, targeting of religions and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's what I felt like happened. But it's a very interesting question. I think she should probably surprise them how she answered that. But I think she's going to cause a lot of controversy for herself because people are going to be out here going, okay, so you think, you know, there's the other group that's going to be like, oh, so you think it's okay, you know. That's going to be interesting, okay? All right, Don Lemon marries longtime partner in New York City wedding surrounded by famous friends, okay? Okay, Don Lemon out here getting married in these streets, okay? It says, this is from New York Post, says Lemon 58 and the real estate broker 40 exchanged vows during a ceremony at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in Midtown Manhattan in front of approximately 140 guests, according to People. Let's see. Number of guests, those guests included celebrities like former Today Show host Matt Lauer, okay, View co-host Sonny Holston, Joy Behar, Anna Navarro, Alec Baldwin, Clive Davis, Real Housewives of New York, City alum Luann DeLisseps, and Tamron Hall. After saying I do, the groom slash huge smile as they exited church carrying their three dogs who were part of the event. Okay, Lemon and Malone rocked velvet tuxedos by Suit Supply in different shades. The former wore green while the latter went with navy, okay? Very interesting, okay? All right, congratulations, Don Lemon. All right, well, Don Lemon got that settlement and said, let's get married. All right, let's see what is next in the season, okay? You got the Israel post up? Okay, it says, Israel, U.S. believe Iran is about to retaliate for Israeli bombing of Syria consulate, officials say. It's according to CBS News. They say Israel and the U.S. are convinced Iran is preparing to retaliate for the Israeli strike on an Iranian consulate. It's a different way you say that, consulate in Syria, U.S. officials say. Israel on Monday struck an Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, and killed a number of senior leaders of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, according to the Pentagon, okay? So we can listen to the news. I'm going to try to put this report from CBS so y'all can hear it, all right? So let's see if we get this up. All right, here we go.
Well, now to some breaking news. CBS News has learned that U.S. intelligence believes Iran is preparing a major attack in retaliation for Monday's airstrike by Israel on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. The U.S. has warned Iran in writing not to attack U.S. personnel and facilities. CBS's David Martin is at the Pentagon with these new developments.
Iran's supreme leader held funeral prayers for the Revolutionary Guards killed by an Israeli airstrike as both the U.S. and Israel braced for a retaliatory attack. U.S. officials tell CBS News Iran is making preparations to launch a swarm of drones and missiles timed around the upcoming end of Ramadan. The target is still unknown, but Israel is reinforcing its air defenses. The ways of retaliating can come from anywhere, including Iran, Israel's defense minister said, and we are preparing to face this battle.
I think Iran will cast about for a relatively vulnerable target, perhaps an embassy somewhere abroad, something like that, maybe a ship at sea.
Retired General and former Mideast Commander Frank McKenzie says Monday's Israeli strike against the Iranian diplomatic compound in the Syrian capital of Damascus was the most significant Israeli attack against Iranians since the war in Gaza began.
That's a very precisely directed strike that took out key leadership, and I think it's hurt them quite a bit.
Two senior generals were among the seven killed in what Iran considered to be an attack on its sovereign territory. It caught the U.S. as much by surprise as it did Iran, even though it was carried out by an American-built F-35 stealth fighter. The U.S. was quick to disavow any connection.
We were not notified by the Israelis about their strike or the intended target of their strike in Damascus.
Still, Iran has vowed to hold the U.S. as well as Israel accountable. American troops throughout the Middle East have been put on high alert.
All right. Now, he was saying easy targets. How about U.S. Saul being an easy target? Because the borders have been open and just anybody and everybody been flooding across the borders, okay? So if you own U.S. Saul, you won't have to look at it. You vulnerable, okay? Because they just read, the borders just wide open, okay? Biden. Crazy, okay? Crazy, y'all. So that it's getting a little wild out here, okay? Just getting a little wild, okay? And if Iran strikes a major target or something like that, we might be looking at World War III coming up around these parts, okay? So, yeah, crazy, okay? What else do I need to talk to y'all about? Okay, now this is the Kansas City news, okay? Kansas City this week. Jackson County in particular voted down a big-time vote last week about the Chiefs having new stadium upgrades and all kind of stuff, and the Royals, okay? Those are the two teams in Kansas City. Now, if you know anything about Kansas City, Missouri, where the Chiefs play at is Jackson County. Jackson County is not a wealthy community. It's where the inner city sits. It's part of Missouri, but it's not, you know, it's not a wealthy community. So it's not surprising to me. I mean, they have parts of pockets of Jackson County that are wealthy, okay? But the Chiefs, a lot of people thinking the Chiefs, because they voted down this vote, may go to Johnson County, which is in Kansas, a far more wealthier area. And listen, a lot of people in Jackson County, funny enough, urban, and especially in the urban areas, don't get to go to the Chiefs games. They're expensive. They all kind of stuff. But Jackson County has been taking care of the Chiefs for the longest. And while I do believe the Chiefs deserve, should stay in Kansas City, Missouri, and do deserve a stadium, I don't like the way they try to come at the residents trying to get that done. Blackmail to the residents about losing a team is never a way to go, you dumbasses. I feel like you want to go to Kansas, but you know, for some people are even saying another state. But here, they lease ain't over up to 2031, so it's a long time to think it through. But it says the battle between the residents of Jackson County, Missouri, and this is from New York Post, and the Royals and Chiefs is getting ugly. Following county residents voting down a tax measure to help fund a new stadium for the Royals and renovate the Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium. The wife of Royals owner John Sherman said the teams are done working with the county and threatened to move to Kansas. Now, a lot of people think that the Chiefs made a mistake by putting the Royals on with them, you know, because the Royals have been losers for a minute, okay? And people don't want to give you that new stadium. You've been losing. Now, one thing that about Kaufman, about the Royals, is Ewing Kaufman, who was the former owner who passed away. Ewing Kaufman was beloved in the Kansas City area. Ewing Kaufman gave a lot of money to the Kansas City, unlike the Hunts, because I don't be hearing about the Hunts like that. But unlike the Hunts, Ewing Kaufman gave a lot of money to inner-city programs, to urban programs, all kinds of stuff. There's even a Kaufman Center sitting in Jackson County right now. I think they helped with entrepreneurship. These new owners, I don't know what they own. But that, you know, that's the name of the game. Y'all trying to ask people for something and y'all don't give back nothing. Y'all billionaires. And yes, the city gets something back, but act like, talk about more about what the city can get from it instead of trying to blackmail them losing the team, especially the Royals hung ass. Okay? But it says, she said, unfortunately, she tried to talk for this chief. Unfortunately, neither team will work with Jackson County again. Marnie Sherman posted on Wednesday on Facebook, has captured by KMBC in Kansas City. Now, so unfortunately, she's saying that because that's how she feels about the residents of the city that has kept Royals for years, been going to Royals games and all that shit, even when they bum asses was losing and shit. That's how you feel? That's some nasty-ass work. But this is what you're dealing with, okay? It says they have been working behind the scenes for 2 years attempting to get a location approved. The location was dumb. A lot of people even in the city said the location was dumb, which was, I think, what Frank White's playing all along. In any case, most unfortunate for the sports fans in Kansas City, KC, the lack of leadership has lost the city two treasured assets. I mean, if you don't support the Chiefs after three Super Bowl wins, why would they stay? We would be lucky if both teams wind up in Kansas, at least still in the area, okay? A source told the outlet that Marnie's comments reflected the feelings of those in negotiations on the Royals and Chiefs side. The future of the Royals and Chiefs in Kansas City is now uncertain after more than 58% of the Jackson County residents rejected replacing the current 3/8% sales tax on the Truman Sports Complex, which has housed the Royals, Kauffman Stadium, and Arrowhead for more than 50 years with a similar tax for the next 40 years, okay? Citizens had concerns about the location of the Royals' new stadium. I totally agree. It's dumb as fuck to put the Royals stadium downtown. But you know what? My personal opinion is that the Royals and the Chiefs, I love where they're at now. You just need to build up around that area. There's a lot of things in that area that needs tearing down. They don't need anymore. You need to build that up as a major, like, tourist area because there's old hotels running around in that area, everything. So I am fixing up the Royals and Chiefs area, you know, stadiums. I agree with that. Putting a retractable roof on the Chiefs stadium, great idea, stuff like that. I don't believe the Royals need to be downtown. I think most of Kansas City understand that's just not smart. Hey, I mean, you know. But it says the Royals have offered citizens that had concerns about this new stadium, how the franchises conveyed their approach and the consecutive details per the Associated Press. The Royals have offered $1 billion toward what will be at least a $2 billion for a new downtown stadium while using tax revenue to cover the remainder, per AP report. The Chiefs has pledged $300 million in private money toward what would be an $800 million renovation project for their stadium. The Truman Sports Complex lease runs through January 31st, 2031, and John has already said the Royals will not play at Kauffman Stadium beyond 2030 season per reports. Okay. We're deeply disappointed as we're steadfast in the belief that Jackson County is better with the Chiefs than the Royals, John said, but not at you coming at them. You have to be very careful about how you come at the residents and how you sell to the residents wanting to be, and I grew up in that area, so I know. So you can't come at the residents like saying, well, you the one begging for money. So when you begging for money, you got to come humble. And you asking in a county that does not have a lot of rich people, okay, but have supported those teams a whole hell of a lot, okay? So I find that the owners to be nasty, nasty, nasty. I don't like what I am seeing and hearing. And maybe Kansas City, Missouri, even though I hate to see it, maybe it's better off without the Chiefs and the Royals if you're going to act clunky like that, if you don't care about the residents of the city. I don't believe so. I would love to see the Chiefs have a new stadium and the Royals have a new stadium where they're located. Nobody wants that shit downtown. I've heard all the Kansas City people talk about that's crazy. I think it's crazy too. Years ago, I said on the thing, okay, years ago, and I think this is where a lot of this talk is coming from. Years ago, we had a Kansas City, they had a big group that came together and wrote up plans and stuff for the city, like how you wanted to see the city 20 years and stuff. And I worked for Hallmark at the time, so I got to sit on this committee. And one of the things they wanted, the Royal Stadium downtown. Now, at the time, it was a fucking great idea because where it was, where it was going to be at, would be Macy's. But that, the Sprint Center wasn't there. And there was a lot more. It would have made sense back then, 30, 40. Now, today, no, it does not. And I get why the citizens, why the residents are like, no way, okay, no way. Even my grandparents are like, hell no. Just don't want the Royals and the Chiefs to have a new stadium. They don't like how the approach they came at the residents. People don't like how they came when they were asking for a handout, billionaire welfare. They tried to blackmail the residents, and they didn't like that. And also, a lot of people I talked to in Kansas City said they just didn't think they were thinking big enough, and they weren't doing enough with the stadiums they had out there in that area. I love where they're at. It just needs to be built up around the area. The Royals do not need to be downtown. Kansas City is not a big city. You need the Royals, where the Royals and the Chiefs are at is great. If they can just upgrade those areas, knock some of the, buy off the eminent domain and some of those old businesses out there and take up space, and you can build a whole beautiful new arena, everything for the Royals and the Chiefs and hotels and everything out in that area where it's at now, because it's not a lot out there. That old Adams Mark Hotel and all that stuff. I'm just saying. There's a lot of stuff out there they can do away with, and they can redo some things. There's a lot of space out there, stuff that's taking up space that, you know, don't need to be taking up space. That's just my personal opinion. They can stay where they are. I'm not a resident anymore, but I feel for y'all. I know. It's my hometown feel. And I don't like it. It's always good when a city invests in sports teams, because sports teams and stadiums and stuff like that can bring lots of money to the city. Problem is, when I grew up in Kansas City, I don't know about now, but when I grew up, they always half-ass shit. Mediocre as fuck, okay? Like Sprint Stadium. They was trying to get a basketball team. They didn't build it big enough. You know, don't be mediocre in the shit, okay? But now y'all don't sound like y'all mediocre. Y'all sound like the Royals and the Chiefs are sounding mediocre, and y'all want them to think bigger and them to stay their asses where they at. Like, you don't want them to move into the downtown area. Now, in Kansas, on the Kansas side, there is a lot of land, a lot of space, a lot of money they trying to build, and all that. Now, here's the thing to consider, okay? Now, somebody said to me the other day, talking about they need to look at what happened to the Dallas Cowboys moving out of Dallas and going to Arlington. But the Dallas Cowboys remained in Texas, the state of Texas. Know this, Chiefs and Royals, when you're crossing over, you're going to the Kansas side. It's a different fucking state. It's going to be different things, and Kansas can be just as crazy as Missouri, okay? I suggest you stay with the devil you know and reinvest in the campaign to get the voters on your side. Nobody wants you to leave, but act like you're grateful. Act like you care. Act like you, I mean, hell. people don't want to feel taken advantage of, and I think a lot of people felt hurt, felt that it was, and you know, these are billionaires, they don't give a damn, but I think a lot of people was angry that the Chiefs was, there would even be emotional blackmail in this. So I think a lot of people did not like how that situation came off. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to keep paying attention and see what happens with this whole thing. But I expect, my personal opinion is, I actually think they'll end up, you know, the Chiefs, they ain't going nowhere. That's my personal opinion. If they do, I mean, stay lost, because, you know, Jackson County could be a trip, but no more of a trip than Kansas. All right? All right, so Moving on to other news. Let me see what we got here. All right. So, well, should we just get into it about Aoki? Jeez. Oh, my God. What? I mean, just last week, I thought Kimura was going to be out here avenging Kim Porter. Child, I thought she was going to be the Diddy Slayer. But now Kimura and Russell got other stuff going on, child. Child, little old Aoki out here trying to get, let me look up. I got to look up some stuff, okay? But little Aoki is out here with a 65-year-old. Let me stop right there. We're going to need to take another break right here because I got to look up, because I got to be able to tell y'all the story. We talked about with Aoki, remember a few months ago when Russell and Kimura and Anand was fighting because they was mad because Russell wouldn't increase. Increased their money. Child, it done went left, okay? So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to get my story together for this. But meanwhile, appropriate. That has Steely Dan on deck. All right. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Steely Dan. Hey, 19. I'll be back in a moment.
I was a dandy, yeah, my kind. listening to the Carlotta Chadwick Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Shout out to play Hey 19 for the next story because listen, okay? Aoki Simmons, heir to the Simmons throne. Jesus. Why y'all just didn't put her on, like, growing up hip-hop or something so she can make some extra coin? Angela, and what's her little cousin's name? Angela, and what's the other girl's name? Angela's sister. Y'all over there making money over there on growing up hip-hop. So I could have put Aoki would be great on growing up hip-hop. Is growing up hip-hop still come on? She'd be great on here. Y'all need to go get her ass, okay? She needs to make some court. She needs money, whatever the situation, okay? Okay, so when we last met, seen Aoki and her family, okay, they was all fighting, okay? They was coming after Russell Hart, because Russell wasn't giving up no more coins, okay? So if y'all can remember this little story here, let me put this little story. Remember when Aoki had a conversation with her daddy a few months ago, okay? And she did let her daddy know that there was going to be some stuff coming if she didn't get that allowance up, okay? Okay? Yeah. I'm feeling sorry because this is my child. I would be upset. This man is 65 years old, okay, running around with Aoki, okay, 65. But let me let y'all hear this, okay, let me play this video of Russell and his daughter, because remember when Russell got upset with them, and then Russell put out audio, the live, where them talking and her asking for more money. Y'all remember that? Okay, y'all don't. If y'all don't, let me bring y'all back up to speed, okay? Let's take a listen here. Let me see. I got to make sure I got y'all up. It's up. So y'all can hear. All right.
If you don't raise my budget, I'm going to be a sugar daddy. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Nothing. Okay.
You don't even have sugar daddy capability, right? Aren't you a B? Of course you are, right?
I'm just saying, if you don't give me money, I'm going to go, I don't know. So,
you're not going to do any of that. You're just going to raise your budget. Your budget's fine.
I'm
going to
be an ambassador for the B industry.
God is watching you. He hears you. I mean, your higher self hears you. You know what you said is bad. You're not going to do that. You're just talking.
Russell, she done got a new man, okay? Okay, you see what she ain't gonna do? Listen, Lil, I got a family member like this right now, okay? When they tell you that, she said, did he call his daughter a bee? Was he talking about her? What was he talking about when he said you a bee? You said you got sugar mama capability? He said, you ain't even got them capabilities, do you? He said, you a bee? Did he say you a bee? Oh, that's a nasty word. Okay, child, okay. We got to talk about it. Aoki is out here with this old man running around in these streets. She's been kissing them on page 6. Lord have mercy. Kamora, this is from page 6. It says, Kamora Lee Simmons seemingly responded, because this is after Kit Kamora's and Cedar Kid PDA photos, page 6, exclusively published on Friday of her 21-year-old daughter, Aoki Simmons, sucking face with 65-year-old businessman, Vittorio Assaf. Now, I thought it was a family hustle, because remember when Kamora started dating Russell, and Kamora don't mess with nobody that look broke, okay? Now, the last one was questionable. But anyway, okay? But listen, he didn't look well, okay? I just thought Kamora, because remember Kamora started off with Russell, she was 17. Russell was in his 30s, like, you know what I'm saying? So I just thought, hey, maybe it's the family business when I saw it. But apparently it's not. So she took to her Instagram story late Friday to share a video of a mother panda bear furiously gripping onto her cub with her mouth and running to a platform. The mom did not try to be gentle as she hurriedly tipped her cub over a wooden railing while the cub helplessly dangled through the process. Like she was, the cub kept trying to run away. And she said, on my last nerve right now, Kimora 48 brought over to Chris. Woohoo. Rep for the baby fat owner did not immediately respond to page 6 request for comment. Aoki's father, Russell Simmons, meanwhile, sent her unconditional love Saturday when he shared the Instagram reel of the pair smiling together. Throwback from last Father's Day in New York City, bold breathroom yoga express class, vegan lunch, chirotherapy, vitamin drip, all around amazing day. He pinned alongside the post. At Aoki Simmons, love you always. I'm always waiting for any call, anytime. Aoki is one of the five kids Kimora has from three relationships, and Asaph were enjoying a romantic vacation in St. Bart's. Now, apparently, y'all, it's a teacher of this, okay? I'm going to give you the tea a little bit minute, because apparently this ain't the old dude staying around the bend. He likes them 20-year-olds, okay? You got to talk about how he got in these streets, okay? Because he was married, but he got in these streets because apparently they say his ex-wife was cheating. Alleged, obviously. Okay, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? The model shared pictures from her Caribbean vacation on her Instagram, but did not include ASAP. Okay, but then she started including ASAP, and we're going to let y'all hear some audio of this, okay, at that, okay, in just a second. Child, it's so messy out in these streets. All right, let's see, because, child, I got a lot to say, okay? Y'all know I had a lot to say before. I got a lot to say today. Okay, let me get that. Okay, Kimora. Okay, see, so let me get this other one out, this other story, chat, because there's so much to the story. Let's see. Now, she is 21 years old. His old ass is 65. Now, in the video, I want y'all to hear this audio. And some of you old men out here, I know y'all better not be talking, okay? I know somebody ain't listening to my show. Because I know some old. Listen, but first of all, let me just say this, okay? Aoki, you're supposed to leave the 65-year-old to the 50 and 40-year-old girls out here. What the hell? That's supposed to be our sugar daddy age. Like, if I got single in these streets, if I was ever single in these streets, I'd immediately be, I'd be dating, what's his name? Satoru. Because I'm counting coins at this point, I'm 50. So then I got to get me, my sugar daddy got to be a little older. Like 65, 70. Going straight sugar daddy, okay? Man, I got time. 57 years old. I got time to play with child. 57 years old, you get single out here in these streets. I tell all these young men, these women, if you get single, are you going to be in 50, your 50 single or 40 single? Don't play. But apparently Vittorio want to jump. He want to jump decades back. But wait till you hear who he mentioned. In his audio. Okay, let's play the audio first, okay? Okay. We got it. And now, he's a restaurant guy, okay? Let's give you a little bit of his background. Apparently, he has a kitchen, a Serafina co-founder. It's a 43-age difference. And he's a big-time restaurant tour guy. Restaurant guy. He owns lots of restaurants and stuff like that. Apparently, he was once married but got a divorce because his ex-wife allegedly, let's see where to say. In 2021, ASAP made headlines when his now ex-wife, former model, so he like, he got a thing for models. You know, a lot of them out there do. A lot of wealthy guys got like the models. They always got the models when they hit it. And then, you know, somebody told me this, okay? Somebody told me that models make excellent beards. I'm not saying this is a thing, but I'm just saying I've just heard this sidebar, okay? But it says former model Charlotte Bornstrom left him after having an affair with her twin sister's ex-husband. A messy mess, okay? His ex-wife was, playing a player wanna play. So he decided he's going to be a player. Now listen to this. He's been linked to other youngins. The restaurateur was most recently linked to 24-year-old model Naya Gatabal. Now, you know I have these models too, okay? Now, guess where they was at together? Child, allegedly, where they found out about Naya and him messing around was in the on St. Bart's too. So apparently, he got a thing for the 20-year-olds and St. Bart's, baby, okay? No, it's sad. I got to laugh because it's sad. I mean, have we fallen? Like, what has happened to the Russell Simmons wealth that, hey, Oki got to get out here on the high-end shrunk? Girl, it's so many fine 40. Let me just say this, girl. It's so many fine 50 and 40-year-olds that you could have been anything. Your daddy knows some of them. That's probably why you couldn't get on. Well, you know, Diddy Tay Rose looking, he ate Martin Juvenile right now. Child, I mean, if somebody's payroll I know out there that's wealthy that you could have been on the low end with. She went into the 65. Child, okay. So let me let y'all hear her talking today when she decides to go live with her boyfriend in her last day. No, she says it's her boyfriend, okay? No, I said that right. Her boyfriend. Listen to this. Listen closely, okay?
Thanks, Bart. I'm so sad, but I'm very sad, very happy. And when I return home, everybody who knows me will be getting a happier, more chilled out person than me. My boyfriend is checking in. I don't know why we're checking in an event like this. Probably because I was misplaced. I should just look. Hey?
Huh?
Hey?
No.
No, Craig? Craig? Oh, I thought he would say no.
No, I can't.
I'm making my final Safe Guards video. Would you like to share your favorite thing about the trip? I'm on this week. You said me. Do you want me to open the drink? Baby, you are on. Shush. Shush. Maybe do I go to Kenya? Someone has invited us to Kenya. Shut up. Never mind. Shush! When are we going to Japan? Actually, baby, shush. I'm going to stop. I am, though, a big forgery. I am, though, a big bulgari person. Okay, I just want to make that very clear. Bulgari. Me. Hi, bulgari. Hopefully they have my necklace when I come back. And they don't sell it to somebody else. Oh, my God, look at this giraffe. We're obsessed with this giraffe. This is our favorite giraffe. No, I want my crepe.
I know,
but you can walk there. No, it's okay. Okay,
You can
only see his neck.
Okay. Hopefully y'all heard. Y'all missed the part about she talking about Vogue and Cartier. Let me just say this, okay? First of all, baby, you know, years ago, I'm going to have to tell you a little story about myself, okay? But you know how I love to tell my own stories. But before I get into this, about this situation, she sounds every bit of a 21-year-old, like 19, 18. She sounds like a kid. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how do you even have a conversation? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Are you old men out there who dating young? What y'all be talking about? Oh, my Lord. He ought to be ashamed of himself, Grandpa. Okay, listen. Did y'all hear him say the T, though? Did y'all hear the T? If y'all was listening, I don't know how good my audio was. But did y'all hear the T, what he said? And she said, shush, babe. Shush, babe. She is media savvy. Shush, babe. You know Mary J. Blige wanted to be my partner. I said, uh-oh. That's who should be your partner with your old ass. Okay? I don't blame Mary for going after, what's his name? Aoki's little new old grandpa boyfriend right here. Because Mary, what's Mary, 52? Grandpa, that's the younger woman you should have. Mary J. Mary J. look good. She's a woman. She's a grown-ass woman. She makes sense and talks sense. Mary J., now I hope you know why you didn't get to go on the trip, okay? Because little Aoki, he don't want even 40. He don't even want 50-something. Girl, he jumped all the way back to a 20-something, okay? His ass want a little young, okay? Mary, and then he on here, like, you know, Mary J. Blige wanted to be my wife. Damn. Ooh, it's getting hard out here for a pimp when you're trying to get the money for the rent. Y'all just trying to get that money for the rent. Listen, okay. I'm going to tell y'all a story about myself. I was a young girl back in the day. I was trying to hang with this certain crew, okay? Like I said, you know, I had friends in a certain group. I'm a friend to a lot of people. And I even had girls who I knew who were groupies, who I was friends with, who I was cool. So one of my girlfriends was like, oh, my God. You know, you come with us. We having this slumber party. And it is, you know, it's going to be fun. And my girlfriend always gives it. You know, it's just a big party. And this particular friend, she wasn't looking out for me. She wasn't even no friend. This bitch was trying to get me caught up in some shit I didn't even be caught up in, right? Now, my little ass is naive, but yet I'm from the hood, too. And I come from a hood family. So I know shit, and I know how to play shit, but I just wasn't that type of chick, to be honest. So I grew up in the church, stuff like that, and while I knew how to do some shit, there was some shit I was like, my conscience keep kicking in and be like, oh, damn. But if you're going to go there, I always knew if you're going to go to hell, I mean, go to hell with Vaseline drawers on. I mean, gasoline drawers on. That's how I think when I was young, okay? So my girlfriend's telling me about this big summer party with it's a lot of athletes, celebrities, stuff like that, get together, hang out, they drink, they have party all night with them. So I'm like, oh, my God, that sounds so fun. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So this lady who used to get a party, right? So she was a good friend with one of my best guy friends. She was his aunt. Or his one of his family members. And so he found out I was going to this party. He's like, oh, no, you cannot go. I'm calling my aunt right now. My aunt is, she going to tell you what this is because she throws them. So, I mean, his aunt says to me, she says, she calls me after we meet. And she says to me, you are a beautiful girl. That's what she says. She said, but honey, you can't come to this party. you somebody's wife, girl. You ain't trying to do some of this shit that's getting ready to go down here. She said, so let me just tell you, if you come in here, you better know how to play the game. I didn't know it was going to be a play like that. Girl, it's a play like that. All right. Now, you can walk out of here, this party, with a man who made props, but I'm just letting you know, okay? You can play it a different way. I said, oh, shit, I didn't even know. Like, my friend, my guy friend was like, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I stopped you before. She didn't tell you right now and stuff. But what I realized right here is this. I had a choice, right? You know, she's telling me, you welcome to come. You know what I'm saying? You type of girls I like to have in court. And she wasn't no pimp or nothing like this. It's just shit she did, okay? She was beautiful, too. Older woman. Beautiful, older. Not probably a little younger than me, that I am now, okay? But beautiful, okay? Child. So I knew. So let me just say this to Aoki, okay? Now, I don't know if you was raised to get, you don't sound like Kamara them done gave you the game, okay? And I'm going to say this little Aoki, okay? If you ain't about to play the game like that lady told me, if you ain't about to play this shit, and it seems like you done already played this shit for real, but you better play it right, okay? Or take your little ass home and wait till your daddy raise your allowance up, okay? Because you done graduated from Harvard and you out here playing around with granddaddy, okay? But when there's all kind of other well-to-do sugar daddies out there who good-looking that you might can roll with, okay? But you do need to know the game, okay, baby girl? First of all, if you're going to have this sugar daddy, let me explain to you, even at 21. First of all, quick, Kamara, let me tell you, this is one thing. See, this is what Scorpio, see, this is my best child. This is what I'm going to be telling you. I'm going to tell you honestly what I do. This is why Kris Jenner, y'all hate Kris Jenner, but Kris Jenner, it's really a chick that understood she dealing with some shit. Her children was headed the wrong way, so she trying to help them, you know, the best work out they shit, okay? Even though it's dark Scorpio shit. But I'm going to tell you how I would handle Aoki. This is my personal thing. I ain't nobody's mama, but this is how I would handle Aoki, okay? I would say, is this the game? Like that lady told me, is this where you going to play? Is this what we going to do? Is we going to be out here fucking old man for change? Because if we are, okay, let me tell you what we need to do. I'm getting ready to call Auntie Naomi on the phone. I said, wait a minute, Carla. Auntie Naomi Campbell to tell you, because now that bitch don't even, we ain't even play about Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell understands how to play the fucking game. Okay, so we're going to call Auntie Naomi on the phone. So she can tell you how to play the fucking game. Because one thing you can't do, little heifer, you can't be taking your sugar daddy live, even if you want to go live. And if you do take him live, don't be pointing out the stories like, I like your credit. Sugar daddy got to be, he better be going in them stores and getting you the stuff. You don't be pointing out like, you don't give me this. He seemed like he was playing your little ass. Maybe we'll get my necklace next time. What? Next time? I know sugar daddy better have ordered that necklace. It better be coming to my house if it wasn't in the store. Okay? When I point at her, we need to be getting out the store. You don't know how to play the game, baby. It's obvious. It's obvious that you used to rich daddy. It's obvious that you ain't used to this level of playing. And Kamara, you know the game. Kamara, your mama know the game. But sometimes your mama don't need to. Or you might want to even call, what's her name? Because Lori Harvey would never. Call, what's her name? What's her name, Harvey? You need to have your daughter talk to Naomi Campbell or Lori Harvey's mom. I mean, Marjorie, she don't know how to play for that, okay? But I would prefer Naomi Campbell because Naomi Campbell is the high-end game, okay? Aoki needs to learn a lot if she's going to be out here playing with the old man sugar daddy. Now, I believe this trip was just to fuck with her daddy's head and say, see what you done made me do? I done went out here and got a sugar daddy like I said I was going to do. And I have embarrassed you it looked like you ain't taking care of me, even though she just graduated from Harvard and he paid her way through Harvard and you ain't got no student loan and you could probably get modeling gigs and stuff and shit because by saying who your daddy is, you could probably do a lot more than the average person. Put your ass on Growing Up Hip Hop, do a whole lot of stuff. This person down here, this dude said, Marcus the Braves, this dude in on Shade Room, he said, she made a whole 10-minute video, didn't get no creeps, no Bulgari, and he ain't even comment when she pointed at Courtier. It's giving Splendor Daddy, not Sugar Daddy. That's why I said, baby. You do not know how this game is. If that baby told me, you got to make a choice here because this is a far advance for you. Now, is you going over into this and you going to walk up in here into this party and play the game? Or is you getting ready to, are you out here faking? Little girl, that man is not, is playing you. That man, did you give that man a whole weekend in St. Bart's where he already took another 24-year-old, allegedly, and at the same place? First of all, that's the first thing. You can't be taking me to the same place, bitch. All right? But he done gave this old man a whole weekend, and you didn't even get no, you better got some Cartier or some something, whatever they give him, whatever that expensive shit is. What the hell is going on? What the hell? See, he know you innocent, girl. He know you don't get it. And she could be my boyfriend. Well, your boyfriend is used to taking chicks to St. Bart in their 20s and models. Kamara, go get your child. Teach her how to play the game if she's going to be out here. Don't let her be out here embarrassing y'all. But if you're going to wrangle this old man, then wrangle the estate, okay? But don't be out here playing, trying to get your daddy's attention. That's what Russell said. You're not even a, how you going to be, you're not that kind of, Russell, no. He said, Russell, no sugar daddy, sugar mama, what women who can play sugar daddy games. He said, you're not sugar daddy material. I mean, you're not that kind of, what did he say to her? He knew exactly. He was like, what are you doing? Like, no, you can't, you've grown up. Now, and it don't seem like Kamara's been telling her the game.
I'm kidding.
What'd
you say?
Okay.
You don't even have sugar daddy capabilities,
right? Aren't you a thief? He said you don't even got sugar daddy capabilities. He know his child, okay? Some of y'all was mad at what he said, but he know his child. He said, you ain't got them capabilities, and it don't look like it. AOG, it don't look like it. And that comes up, see, sometimes if you got a heart, you could not be, straight up. Like, I knew real gold diggers, not fake gold diggers. I knew real gold diggers. And if you got a heart, you can't play gold digging games. You really can't. You can't round up the fake and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like gold diggers do. Gold diggers, real gold diggers don't act nothing like, I'm not talking about Insta thotties, Instagram thotties and stuff like that. They don't act nothing like that, okay? Real gold diggers is some interesting ish to watch, okay? And if you got a heart, you can't fuck, because some people, they'll sniff you out. Dudes like that old restaurateur who's been around, he's been around 43 years long. When you was born, his ass was in his 40s, okay? He's been around the game a long-ass time, okay? And you got to have mad skills to play his ass, okay? And he know who's an Instagram thotty,
I mean, he knows who is a sugar, who's a gold. He knows the real gold diggers and how they roll versus the little fake gold diggers or little girls who's trying to play these games. He'll use the shit out of you. Ain't no way I could be sitting out here all these shit. Hey, listen, all these shit. I would have went after. Like, damn. Hey, see, if you're gonna go old, I mean, I go old and fine. I can't go old and, you know, I can't go. If I'm 21, I couldn't have gone 65. Okay, I'd be like, hell no. Nah. I would have been like, nah. He had to be good. Like, it's too many good looking dudes out here in their 30s and 40s for doing well. Like, I wouldn't even go to 40 if I was a 21-year-old, okay? Shit. But I'd be going out. If you're going with an old man, you had to be like, he had to look like Maxwell or something. I said, no, I'm not waiting here. He had to be fine. I'm not doing this. Now, my age, you can play them games. You know, 50, you can go with a 70-year-old, okay? Because at this point, you know, when you're at your 50, it's a whole nother ball game. We looking at other things. We looking around. We done got harder and a little bit tougher. Not harder, just tougher. We ain't about no games. We understand what it takes. When you're 21, you got the whole world, you know, ahead of you. You can, you know, there's a lot of choices and things, you know what I'm saying? But if you 50-something and you don't play the game no more, you can go out with, you know, with what's his name? Vestori or whatever his name is. Because you know his old ass. You already know what it is. You know, this week I'm going to get all the shit I need to get. Shopping spree. I need to get, because his ass might be here next week with Mary J. Blige. Because we know better. We understand the game. But little Aoki, growing up in her rich mama and daddy's and them in house, don't know the game. And I can tell Kimora has not given her the game because she was playing out, of course, the air and all these things, and his ass wasn't saying nothing. Okay? His ass wasn't saying nothing. Nothing. He was mute. I like that right there. I like that right there. Don't be out here wasting your youth playing, girl. It's sad, child. I cannot do. This was sad to see. And I'm going to need Russell and Kimora and all y'all to go get your baby some help, okay? All right, because that's crazy. All right, it's wild. It's just wild to be out here when your daddy is got millions of dollars. Russell Simmons, man, I don't understand why Russell is on Bally, hiding. But Russell was one of the founders of Def Jam. And the other two dudes, I know y'all was probably into some shit, too. They sitting around here giving white parties and shit. Like, Russell, the only one, the only founder, hiding his ass up. Ain't got, don't seem like he's struggling giving wealth to the next generation. Wow. Let's talk about Kerry Washington and Kerry funny. Kerry said this week that, let's see, where are we at? Let's see, Kerry. Okay. Kerry Washington said she wore her engagement ring pinned to her undergarment to hide it from the public. Oh, Lord, this is according to Yahoo. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay. Kerry Washington says her husband has reminded her where she belongs. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Kerry. Okay. Let me see. Am I going to be able to pull this up? Okay, let's see this. We got her talking. I think we do. Okay, let's take a listen to Kerry Washington on
No, this is her talking about her dibs on the biological father. Okay. Okay. It says the first person she told during an appearance on the Today Show with Hoda and Jenna, September 26th, Washington said the revelation came after learning the man who raised her is not her biological father. The first person she told the news to was her husband, Nnamdi Asamoah, a pro football player turned actor whom she married in 2013. They shared two children together, and she is stepmother to his teenage daughter. He was the first person I told after my parents told me, so I came home and realized this disorienting as the news was, and confused and adrift as I felt knowing that my family wasn't who I thought they were. When I saw him, I knew who this family was, Washington says. I knew that no matter what I was feeling with my parents, I belonged here. The 46-year-old actor is notoriously private about her marriage with Asamoah, but shares intimate details about him and their relationship in her new memoir, Thicker Than Water, okay? Let me see. She met her, but they had a secret wedding. For months, she said, I had been wearing my engagement ring secretly pinned inside my clothing for fear they said that she was putting them under her underwear. The fear that if people knew we were engaged, it would be impossible to have a wedding away from a public spectacle. Girl, yeah, like, Carrie, you wouldn't have it. Carrie, you could have had a private wedding. Instead of the privacy gave them space to have family members involved in every detail. Okay, let me just say this. Okay, she's an Aquarius, and I don't know who she's playing games with. Carrie, why was you hiding your wedding ring out there? You could have just left the engagement ring the fuck at home. You said you was pinning it to your underwear, allegedly, they said. That's what you were saying? Undergarment. I'm not going to get to reading this Aquarius tonight. I just don't have time. Okay. I don't got time. I don't got time to read her tonight. I'm gonna just let Carrie sit and think about why she was pinning. I didn't read the book, but if I read that part, I'd be like, come on, Aquarius, here. What was really going on? That's all I gotta say, huh? Okay. Why is you hiding the man's ring pinned to your underwear? So you can remind yourself when you take off your clothes, oh, this is it, I'm engaged. Let me stop with you, the queer. I don't got time. What's Kerry Washington? Somebody put up Kerry Washington. Where did it hurt? I need somebody to do a thing on Kerry Washington astrology, please. I'm going to listen to one tonight, because, you know, Kerry, who do you think you're playing with? You know, some of my closest friends are Aquariuses. Some of my old boyfriends have been Aquariuses. Aquariuses are so interesting and quirky, but sometimes so full of shit. Moon and Cancer. Look at her. Yeah, Carrie. I am going to just leave this alone. Kerry Washington, Kerry Washington. Interesting, interesting that you pinned it to your underwear. Okay. All right, so we're moving on. You just didn't have to wear the ring. I mean, everybody was like, huh? People was reading this out of it. See, you have to understand Aquarius thinking. Yeah. Okay, whatever you say. let's go into, what else did I say I was supposed to talk to y'all about? So we can make sure we get all those stories. Jay-Z. What was I talking about Jay-Z about? What Jay-Z do this week? Oh, Made in America has been canceled again the second year in a row, along with the Rock Nation Breakfast. and word on the streets. Excuse me. Word on the streets is that Beyonce been separating her assets. I mean, that's the shit they talking. Now, a lot of y'all like to think, because y'all say, Beyonce, she just needs to get away from Jay-Z. Beyonce, Jay-Z is Beyonce, like Jay-Z is just the biggest Scorpio moon, okay? She's every bit of the partnership, okay? You hear her in that little bodyguard sound? They couldn't take you and they with me, and they never will. She's that chick 50 Cent said jumped off the thing when he was coming at Jay-Z, talking to Jay-Z, and she jumped out like she what's up, 50? Because that's Scorpios. That's how we do. We don't play no games. It's about people we love. We like, bitch, hold up. What you about to do? Remember he said he was so taken aback. Did you see it? Tell that story about Beyonce when him and Jay-Z was talking, and she thought something was about to pop out, and she jumped off like she was sitting on something, jumped off and came over there at him like she was about to get at him. And he said, he was like, whoa, Jay, get it. Listen, okay? Don't let that Virgo make y'all think she ain't in the shit with the shits either. She's just as much. If Jay-Z's a part of something crazy, she's rolling with him too. What's the sign? What's he saying, son? I'll be you. What's he saying, that song? I forget the words. I forget the word. But I'm down with it. Whatever you down for, Daddy, I'm with it too. Okay? Don't y'all believe that Beyonce ain't with the shit. Beyonce's with the shit. Now, the rumors is that she's separating her assets, not because she's trying to divorce his ass. If she is, I would question that, too. That means probably she thinks the fans is coming. But rumors are that he's scared, allegedly, these are the rumors, that he's scared because, you know, they're going after Diddy, which we're getting ready to talk about here in a minute. Diddy, that he might be next, yeah. So they like trying to separate out this stuff. And when they come for Jay-Z, Jay-Z is coming for your ass, okay? I don't want them to get my little shit. Okay, but it ain't because Beyonce ain't been Bonnie to his Clyde. Highway cruising down the, my way cruising down the highway. What's the fun? Like Bonnie, me and my best friend, down the line to the very end, me and my boyfriend. What's the fun? That's the damn fun. That's Beyonce, okay? A little bodyguard son, too. That's her. She say, she's telling y'all, you ain't gonna take him without me. I like that, though. I'm Scorpio, so I know what she's talking about. That's that Scorpio moon in her. And that little Scorpio, she like, I'm gangster about it over here. And especially that part where she goes, when she said, I don't like the way she's looking at you, about to turn around and John Wayne that ass. I said, oh, look at that Scorpio moon shit coming out. Oh, yeah, bitch, come through. Millis and Scorpio, I see you. She's like, because, you know, Scorpio secretly on a lot. See, we don't hardly get jealous, but there are times we do. And when we do, oh, it ain't nice. Oh. If you make us jealous, that's a problem. You do not want that problem. You do not want to make a Scorpio jump. You do not want to do that. Or anybody with Scorpio in their chart. You don't. Especially if somebody has Venus in Scorpio or something like that. You don't want to play those games with us. You want us to stay light as a feather. Now, me, I have a lot of Libra in me, so I'm a little bit lighter than the average Scorpio. But, bitch, when I get jealous, you try to make me jealous. Oh, you asking for my dark scorpion nature to come out. I don't like to feel. I don't like to feel threat. By some other chicks or other stuff, I will. I will act up. I won't act a fool, but I act a fool at the appropriate time. My act of fool is you may be with your head on the pillow, think you're ready, close your eyes real good, and you just set me off, and I come in there, and I done woke your ass up some sort of way. But don't play me. Don't try to get me there. That's not a good thing. No Scorpio likes or don't like that. You don't like acting jealous. Now, I know some Scorpios who really do. I had a Scorpio friend who embraced all her dark side of Scorpio shit. And she was just like, she would act a fool with her man. Because she'd be like, bitch, I would beat your ass and her ass. Okay? And especially when the sex, like if she got somebody that she done merged with real high sexually and stuff, that bitch would act a fool. Okay? You done, especially that, okay? If you done... You know, stirred up the scorpion. That's what Jay-Z done did. See, Beyonce, you got to look at Beyonce's chart. She got that Scorpio moon, that Littleton Scorpio, and that heifer. And she got the little Virgo, that Virgo. That heifer is methodically jealous. If Jay-Z probably done, may have turned that out sexually, listen here, okay, then she going to fight. She will John Wayne the ass, okay, about that, Jay-Z, and will John Wayne his ass, too, okay? That's why she like Jolene. That's why she picked Jolene, okay? Even though she can't sing it right, she picked Jolene to let you bitches know, I will fuck you up about Jay-Z. Just from, remember, she said, hey, that's not only my money. They're going to be rocking Chichilla Coast if I let you go. In the house off the coast if I let you go. I'll be damned if I let you go. That's Scorpio moon shit and a little bit of Virgo. Yes, bitch. I see you. Okay, because I know that's right now. Beyonce said, I'm protective of the king. You know, I know he might be out here fucking, I'm going to fuck y'all up. I believe it. So quit saying Beyonce ain't a part of this shit. Hey, whatever he did, indeed. Okay? Quit trying to get Beyonce out. You know, if she just gets rid of Jay-Z. Speaking of Beyonce, before I go into this beauty story, Beyonce's around here giving out. What's she giving out? What's she gave her out? We got to talk about Cam Newton, too. I got to talk about Cam Newton. Okay, let me see. Beyonce's give. What she give? This is a story I need to tell about Beyonce. Hold on, y'all. We'll get to it. Okay, we got two. Now three stories. Okay. They're saying Beyonce is investing into one of America's oldest black owned beauty schools. And it says the smell of a flat iron and the sound of clippers. This is from CBS News. Words of wisdom and belly deep laughter, beauty salons and barbershops have long been a sacred space for black women and men to commune about everyday life. For 109 years, one family has been investing in that space through the Franklin Institute, Barber and Cosmetology School in Houston, Texas. The Franklin Way is the right way, says fourth generation owner Ron Jimerson Jr. The Institute's roots date back to 1915, making it one of the country's longest standing black-owned businesses. Jimerson's great-grandmother, Madame Nobia Franklin, founded the hairstyle salon in San Antonio and made her own hair products. Since then, the Franklin Institute, let's see, here we go. I lost my place. Okay, and Barbara. Okay, since then, the Franklin Institute Beauty Culture School moved around to Fort Worth, Houston, Chicago before moving back to Houston in 1934. Fast forward 2024, Jameson has put his own touch on the business, renaming it the Franklin Institute. Okay, but I think they have some problems with funding. And so the Sacred Be Good Fund will also provide salon businesses grants in those name, in those same locations, McGregor said. So Beyonce's Sacred thing, care thing, is giving money and stuff to these beauty schools. Now, here's my question, okay, for that, okay? She may be out here just trying to support cosmetology. Her mama was a cosmetologist and all this stuff like that. But I also wonder, being such a young hair product thing line and stuff like that, is she trying to give money? And they said she's giving money to cosmetology schools all the country, around the country. Is she giving y'all that money and products too? If you got to be up in Beyonce's products if you take that money? See, those are questions you got to ask. You know what I'm saying? You got to, all of a sudden, you got to be down with Beyonce and Sacred and the Ritual Queen. Y'all said, she said it's a ritual. I said, oh, shit, I don't know if I'm going to put that shit on my hair if it's a ritual. What y'all talking about it's a ritual? When they said that, I was like, hold up. Because listen, seriously, I don't play with Beyonce and them because I know, you know, that might be, I don't know what y'all are. I be talking about hair stuff as a ritual. I'm scared to try the product. I was going to try. You know, I be supporting her ass. You know, I don't even, y'all beehive don't be lying. Y'all be supporting her. I went out and bought some Ivy Park. I bought some Hansel Berry on. I bought some Miss Tina. I asked them, like, y'all be dogging me, talking about, yeah, hey, Beyonce. No, I support her little funky ass. And then all that funky ass products she had at, okay? I'm scared about that hair stuff because I was like, shit, this is, that hair stuff. I ain't prepped for supporting that perfume. See, you don't even, she ain't even mention that perfume no more. Beyonce, again, wear that perfume. You out here trying to sell me some Sacred, some little bottle of shampoo for $5. She had Maxwell. Maxwell, did you show a box of Sacred the other day? I think he did. He showed something like a box of Sacred. I said, you sending boxes to celebrities again, Beyonce? Maxwell, because he got pretty hair. Maxwell, don't you be careful putting that shit on your hair. You know they said it's a ritual. I'm just saying what she said. They said something about it's a ritual or something. They said, what did they say it was? Something about that hair stuff? He was advertising it, though, the other day. So Kelly Rowland ass. You would like Kelly Rowland selling, just washing the shirt. I guess if you miss Tina's other son, that's what you do. But listen here, I'm just saying I be careful of shit. I don't know, and be careful if you a hair school taking donations, a cosmetologist taking donations. Find out what the donations entail. Bitch, do I gotta sell this Sacred out of this shop? Am I gonna have to use your product? If the shit ain't that good, am I gonna have to lie about it and say it is good? You gotta ask all them questions, okay? That's all I'm saying. She might be just trying to be nice, though. Maybe Beyonce is trying to be nice to these streets, okay? All right, so on to my next story. They're going to be like, be having like, you know what? I'm tired of you. I'm your friend, Beehive. I'm your friend, okay? All right, so let's see. What's next? Okay, what did I have? I'll say, okay, did we talk about, we talked about Jay-Z. There was another story I have for y'all. What did I say I was going to talk about? There's one more. It's an important one coming up here. Hey, an earthquake hit New York City this week. I hope y'all all are safe in New York City. Ooh, right before the eclipse. I'm just hoping everything is going to be okay. It's wild out in these streets. Earthquakes and stuff. Oh, wow. This is crazy, okay? Crazy. In New York? Wow, okay? I hope y'all all stay safe, all right? Okay, Cam Newton. Apparently Cam Newton and his ex-girlfriend, Kia Proctor, are still out here fighting about this Bentley. At this point, Kim, why don't you just give her the Bentley? I mean, seriously. Mel says, Cam Newton's ex-girlfriend, Kia Proctor, demands ex-NFL star show receipts as she prepares to grill him and fight over, no, it's a 2017 Bentley, okay? Cam Newton's ex-girlfriend and mother of four of his children, Kia Proctor, demanded the ex-NFL star answer questions under oath as part of their ugly court war over a Bentley. According to court documents obtained by RadarOnline.com, Proctor handed a list of questions for Newton to answer as she fights to have his lawsuit dismissed. As RadarOnline.com first reported last year, Newton sued Proctor over a 2017 Bentley Santiago. In his suit, the ex-NFL star claims he had allowed Proctor to use the car while they were together. And she has four or five kids by this man, okay? They dated from 2013 to 2019, around the same time Instagram model Larina Shah became pregnant with Needham Child. The suit read, although the relationship has ended, Proctor remains in possession of the car and refuses to return the car. Jesus. Newton told the court that he brought the car in May 2018 and placed his name, placed it in his name. He claimed he expected Proctor to return the car after they broke up, but that never happened. In 2019, the relationship ended and Proctor moved out of Newton's residence. The lawsuit hit. As a part of the move-out process, Proctor, Newton allowed Proctor to use the car to move her things out of the plaintiff's residence with the understanding the car would be promptly returned. The suit read, the vehicle never returned after she moved out. Wow. Let me just say this. Okay, Miss Kim, this is sad because this girl has like 4 or 5 kids by you. And see, Kia, I've already had this speech on here about Kia. Kia, first off, they don't put that shit in your name. And see, I want you girls to understand, you cannot be having babies out here by these dudes who don't even want to put your name on the car. She didn't have not one, not two, not three, not four, but I think it's 5. And he done moved on down the line. He got 2 more kids, sister. Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, I ain't got nothing to do with this. All right. Listen, I don't understand what's going on. Kid, come on, and now you in court wasting your money fighting over this 2017 Bentley that this man can't even let you keep because you got 5, you done bore him 5 children. He don't even want you to let you keep a Bentley. Damn, and I know you fighting for that Bentley because it's one of those things where you're trying to say, damn, let me get something out of this. I just wasn't giving up my room for nothing. Oh, Jesus. I keep saying, why you keep putting me in there? I ain't got nothing to do with it. Are you right, dude? It's beyond us now. I don't even know what to say. That y'all two are still fighting over this 2017 Bentley. And I don't know these rich people problems out here. I mean, maybe a 2017 Bentley is worth it. But damn. Here, he's trying to face his cold, hard facts. Here they are. You gave up your room, a lot of your time, a lot of your energy, and you might not get much back from it. But some child support. Then you get last name. And sometimes in life, we got to learn lessons from the shit. And the quicker we understand and learn these lessons, the better off we are. Okay. Quit wasting your time arguing with that man over that bill. Okay. I give him his shit back. Throw it back at his ass. Okay. I wouldn't waste no more court money on him. But hey, that's me. Okay. Maybe you got a reason. Lord have mercy. Okay. All right. Now. They are talking about Serena Williams launching a makeup line. Y'all was all laughing. We were talking about, please, Serena, don't do it. I agree. Serena, what are you doing? Get some tennis brackets. Makeup is not exactly your strong suit, sweetheart. I don't think that's the thing that you should be out here. Do y'all think everybody can do what Rihanna do? You see, Beyonce can't even hardly sell stuff. She be slinging. She must slang so many products out here. Everybody ain't Rihanna. Quit trying to sell makeup. Girl, get some tennis rackets or something going somewhere. I don't even got time for this argument. She should know better. Next. What is next here? What is next? Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is letting you bitches know. You got 13 days with your funky country hat. And your funky country music, and your funky shit, whatever you're doing out here, your rap battles, all that, because bitches, she's coming, okay? She says, this week it says, Taylor Swift builds anticipation for Tortured Poets album using her favorite number, okay? She said, you know, you got 13 days, bitches. My shit drops on the 19th. You know what that means. I'm about to clear all you bitches out of number one, okay? Just letting you know, okay? They say it was for her fans, but no, Taylor Swift did that shit for y'all, okay? Taylor Swift is counting down the days, and this is from Billboard, until the release of her new album on Saturday, April 6th. The 34-year-old pop superstar used her lucky number to remind sissies that there are only 13 days left until the arrival of her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department. The cool summer singer took to her Instagram story to share a clip of a typewriter writing the words, 13 days until The Tortured Poets Department, alongside a pre-order link to the album. April 19 marks the arrival of Swift's 11th studio album, which she surprised announced at the 2024 Grammys in February while accepting the Best Pop Vocal Album for her previous release, Midnight. In her speech at the ceremony, the star mentioned that the project has been 2 years in the making. The 14-time Grammy winner is currently taking a two-month break from her Global Eras Tour trek to prepare for the release of the Tortured Poets Department. Since then, she shared new projects, main cover plus details for deluxe editions, as well as confirming Post Malone and Florence the Machine are both featured on the album. Okay. I just want you to know. Okay. Beyonce, clear your little shit. Okay. Cause I'm about to do real numbers, bitch. Okay. Listen, this is the only thing I say that will stop you, Taylor. Okay. I'm glad you're in love. Okay. And even Travis Kelce, make sure Beyonce or nobody can send his ass over there to slow your ass down, okay? You know, because love slows shit down. When you're in love, love will take all your shit. Love will slow your shit down. Now, ladies, I'll be telling you, young lady, it's true. Love is grand, but love will slow some shit down, okay? Love will have you up in the clouds. It will have you up all night. It will have you doing crazy stuff. It will have you looking like, what's he doing? Like, you know, you little young girl. What's he doing on his Instagram? If he say something today, what are you doing on his Twitter? Love out of y'all fucked up out here. Y'all little youngins. Okay? So Taylor Swift, you know, I know she been, they said she been living with Travis Kelce allegedly all summer. And she, Travis Kelce, you know, he got that different type. I think Travis Kelce is a different type of dude than Taylor been used to being with. Taylor been with some different dudes is kind of a little different. They ain't got the edge that Travis get. So she might be a little messed up in her mind. Maybe you ain't wanting to tour around here. And do, you know, you might be getting comfortable, like, you know, oh, Lord, maybe I'm, you know, when you start feeling like, you know, you don't want to get out of bed, you just want to lay up under him all day. But his ass don't make it to football practice, you could leave that shit in July. Okay? So, Taylor, don't you miss selling this Tortured Poets album, okay? Because I want to see you sweep these bitches under the rug. She be doing too much, okay? So, yes, Taylor, so let's see this Tortured Poets. I hope you out here promoting and doing the most. But Taylor, like, I ain't got to do all that, girl. I'm Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, in that arena, what? I mean, after she did that 2 or 3 nights out of play for Martin Williams, that's crazy. That's wild. That's wild shit. Ain't nobody close to Michael Jackson. Ain't nobody. But if y'all going to be talking about somebody in the way y'all talk about Michael Jackson, maybe Taylor Swift. Not even a little. I can't even put Taylor Swift in yet. There ain't nobody. But the name of y'all, none of y'all, she'd probably be close. and I'm talking about performance-wise. I'm just talking about her the craziness that goes on surrounding Taylor Swift, okay? Let's see. Talk about Cam. Jennifer Lopez is saying is quietly rebranding her tour, has the greatest hit show among ticket sales, child. I can't do it. Jennifer, if you didn't know, the ticket sales were going to be weak. Leo, you got to come down and humble yourself and realize, you know, it ain't, what is it, 1990, what was the year, 1998 again? Okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. Sean Diddy Combs' ex, Cassie, likely important witness in Homeland Security trafficking probe. They're saying Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend is from Yahoo, Cassie Ventura, could be an important witness in a Homeland Security investigation against the rapper. after Cone Tones were raided on March 25th in connection to a federal human trafficking investigation. Reports surfaced that Ventura has been interviewed by Homeland Security. The musician likely was in contact with Homeland Security investigations before the raid even occurred, TMZ reported. Wow. Fox News Digital has reached out to Homeland Security and representatives from Ventura. What the Long Way to Go singer told Homeland Security would likely mirror her claims brought in the Spencer John civil lawsuit against Combs. And how can you trust anything she said? She didn't draw out her love, she took some money, but whatever. In November, this is what they're saying. Ventura referred to herself as a victim of sex trafficking. Okay. You sure you wasn't Galene? But I digress. Trafficking her initial lawsuit obtained by Fox Digital citing the New York Services for Victims of Human Trafficking laws and California trafficking. Shortly after becoming romantically involved with the rapper, the Me and You singer said Combs had her engaged in sex with male sex workers while he watched. Combs allegedly referred to these arrangements as freak-offs, according to the sex document. Sometimes Mr. Combs would fly male sex workers to his location, including to multiple cities in the United States, as well as abroad. The document states he required Mr. Ventura and his staff to help him make these arrangements. Ventura alleged that Combs' security and staff knew about the abuse she faced. Okay, let me just say this, too, okay? It says Attorney Spencer T. Kubin, the law Goldman, told Fox News Digital there's no way to know what Cassie is saying to the feds, but suffice to say, if she's cooperating with the feds, it cannot be disadvantaged. Now, what I will say is there is a lawyer right now who's dealing with R. Kelly's case and who's saying these RICO charges that the feds are using against some of these entertainers are ridiculous. Because, listen, is it – because RICO charges are usually used for organizations. Like, if you and Diddy's girl plans a sex party across state lines and he said he hired some prostitutes, and for y'all to have sex together and stuff, is that really a sex trafficking charge, or is it just that he fucking has some hoes? You know, he don't have the hoes. He's not the pimp. Unless he's the pimp. Now, Cassie, I'm quick to not believe any shit Cassie got to say. Cassie was with his ass for 11 years, okay? She was running, and I don't believe, you either was Ghislaine Maxwell to his shit. That's what I think, okay? But I don't think he was completely innocent up in this thing. I believe Diddy could be probably abusive towards her, but I don't believe she's a completely innocent up in here. And him having you have sex with all these people and stuff like this, at some point in your life, you could say not, but she was enjoying the ride, baby, okay? So I don't know if I believe anything that she got to say, but I will tell you me and this out here, okay? It's to hell with your NDA agreement. To hell with the NDA agreements nowadays. Say these NDA agreements don't mean shit. Okay, the feds say, I'll be tearing up your NDA agreement. Cassie already showed that she could just put out a lawsuit and fuck up the NDA agreement. I just want you people to know this. So all the weird and fun and, I mean, crazy sexual orgy parties and whatever y'all doing out there and stuff, and y'all having these girls and these men sign these NDA agreements, and I'm like, shit, they ain't going to say nothing. I got an NDA agreement. All they got to do is sue your ass and put it in a report like Cassie did. Get right around there, NDA agreement. Oh, it's a new day, baby. It's a new day. Poor celebrities. This is about to be, if you a host man, if you a man hoe out here, if you a female hoe too, but mostly men hoe. This getting ready to get tough, player. Okay? Because they ain't playing out here no more. They go right around your little NDA agreement. I'm going to sue him for giving me ecstasy one night. I didn't know. He gave me ecstasy and we had sex. And we went across state lines and we did it with a prostitute. Oh, my God. I am suing you. You made me do it. didn't have, don't have a legitimate source. But some of y'all is this, okay? This is what these men, you're going to be like, damn, I just was like, I thought it was consensual. Now, some shit ain't being consensual. Some of y'all is rapists and horrible people out there, okay? And I hope you get yours. But some of these chicks going up in there, they was partying with your ecstasy. Molly and ecstasy was getting happen this right. You know, y'all was up there popping pills and doing whatever y'all was doing. Cheap cocaine. And these couples is like, now New York is extending laws that help them come forward and say, I was at a party with such and such, and he plowed me with Molly and ecstasy, even gave me pink cocaine. And I said yes, because I wanted to, yes, I wanted to fuck it, but not under the pink cocaine. No, I'm just serious. This was getting ready to happen, okay? I'm just telling some of y'all who've been out here hoeing for a long time, okay? It's going to be women who you know. You say, dang, I had to. It was consensual. But they going to say, he gave me Molly. They gonna, them fans gonna come after some of y'all with Ricos. He made me go across state line with his other two girlfriends. I'm making a joke, but I'm not making a joke, okay? Because it ain't funny when it's really sex trafficking and stuff going on. And I'm not saying in that business, sex trafficking and stuff can't be going on. And for real victims, I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of these bitches who've been lying, going up there. They know they was out there partying at the party, at the club, partying with these dudes. Hey, baby, I'll take a hit of that. Give me a little bit of that pink cocaine, blah, blah, blah. And now, 10 years later, because afterwards, the next day, he's like, yeah, bitch. He was dogging them and treating them like they was shit. Now they mad. 10 years later, they want to come back and say, he gave me, baby, take Molly. Give me a check, and I will make this go away. That's what I'm talking about. Not real victims. I'm talking about you girls who know you was out there tricking, including Cassie Ventura. I believe Cassie was a victim, but at some points, I believe he was kind of abusive, but I also believe Cassie agreed to a lot of that shit and liked it. That's just my personal opinion, okay? Because you stayed there 11 fucking years. And then you took a check. You didn't go to the feds and tell them I was being trafficked. Please help. You went and went to go sue him, withdrew your lawsuit. Now this bitch went work with the feds. I believe she was his Ghislaine Maxwell if he was all that, okay? I see what I see. Okay? That's my belief. Ain't no facts behind it. It's just a legend. Okay? That's just my belief. You be with somebody for 11 years and they sex trafficking and going across the station, what part did you have? What did you have in it, girl? That's all I want to know. What was you doing? You was at the party, at the Diddy parties, and I got to laugh this week because CBJ said this is what a real Diddy party looked like. And he had all the main people on there. He letting y'all know. Some people say he was letting the people know that was in their parties. Remember, he got videotapes. So if you went to, somebody even said this week, Denzel told an actor that you needed to be, Denzel Washington said you need to be out the parties by 12, some of these parties, by midnight, because that's when the devil come out. Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever been in a party? Like, I was at something. I told y'all the story on here years ago where I went somewhere with some girls, and they went to look for, I told the story a lot, about two or three times on the show. Some young girls, I was in college, my first year of college, some friends of mine, there's a bunch of girls, they went to look for this DJ they liked up at this school. He was supposed to be having this party. And when we get to the campus, they come to this place, and these all these dudes in there, so maybe about 15, 20 dudes to about 7 or 8 girls, right? These dudes in there smoking drugs, weed and everything, partying and everything. my friends who are girls, they all up in there. I didn't feel right. I felt like some shit is not, this is not right. I told one of my friends, I said, shit, I'm going to just go sit in the car. Y'all come get me when y'all ready to go or something like that. I'm not going to be up here if something don't feel right. As I was walking down the stairs, one of my friends from high school, who was an old drug dealer in the neighborhood, but I knew him really well, and he said, what you doing up here? He said, what? And I told him straight. He's like, nah, we can't have that. Go down. Hey, I'm going to take you down here tomorrow. I got to go. He had to go do something. But he said, my partner, he said, he's a real good dude. He's down there doing his homework and everything like that. You can trust her. I ain't going to let nothing happen to you. And I knew this dude. I've been knowing this dude since I was 13 or 14. I knew he wasn't going to let me. I knew we've been knowing we was cool. We was real, and I knew he was looking out for me. Sitting down there, he was a dude they was looking for. He was a nerd. He was down there doing his homework and everything. He went, he's like, I'm not having a party tonight. And the dude they was looking for, he had me the whole time down there. He gave me a place to sleep. He was the coolest, nicest, most gentleman-like dude. So they bum asses was finished doing whatever they was doing up there to 3 or 4 in the morning. And one of my other girlfriends came looking for me. And she was so worried. And she was telling me, she said, you should have, because we was kind of getting uncomfortable. I know. So sometimes, you know when shit ain't right at these parties, them Hollywood parties, some of y'all didn't leave. Some of y'all stayed at the Diddy party, allegedly, Diddy party. And they got video on your ass, allegedly. Mm-hmm. You jacked up. Sometimes you got to leave because the devil show up at a certain time. Okay? But some of y'all ain't there. And the feds are sitting up there watching y'all videos right now. About to call y'all in. Hi, sir. You were at the Diddy party in 1998. You have a video here. Did you know he had video of you, footage of you? This is just Carlotta 101, okay? Yes, it's you and another person here. Would you like to see? That's allegedly what may be happening. Ooh, it's going to be ugly. That's what they say in these streets. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they try to say that may happen with the Diddy party. I'm just telling y'all what I'm hearing on the grapevine, okay? So I'm praying for y'all out there who got caught up and wrapped up, okay? Being at the party when the devil showed up at the twist. With the molly and ecstasy and pink cocaine. I will put y'all on the prayer list, all right? Listen, come to the end of the show. Shout out to people who were on the line tonight listening to me. I am sorry if I didn't get to you guys to do phone conversations when I record. I usually just don't answer the phones anymore. So some of y'all don't know that. Some of y'all are my old, and so y'all caught coming, y'all want to say something, but I'm just recording it. Sometimes I don't expect y'all to be listening to the live. That's why sometimes I don't put out the thing too late that I'm recording. But I'm going to hopefully start doing shows on Saturday again when I get a chance, and then we'll start doing live and the YouTube shows and all that stuff, and then y'all can call in and talk and get to interact with me, okay? Right now, because I don't have my screening process and all that set up anymore like I used to, okay? So I'm not doing it, taking calls. I'm just recording the show so y'all can get the news and all of that, okay? But listen, you guys, I appreciate you so much for listening live. I thank God for y'all. I hope y'all have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. We're going to leave out with, what's going to go with? Yeah, because Chow apparently ain't nothing going on but the rent with Aoki. Oh, she's learned that early. Okay, so let's live out with Greg Gussie. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. If you see C. Shaw, I'll call out. I will see y'all later. Have a good one.
Nothing going on but the rent.
cigarettes. I'm looking for some. What that stuff cracks me up? It's like love is too mysterious. A fly girl like me needs security because ain't nothing going on with the rent. That's AOC right now. Okay, with her little 65-year-old boyfriend. Okay, listen. If you are listening to the sound of my voice, you are listening to the archive show. Man, I appreciate y'all so much, my archive listeners, listening to the show and checking me out. Y'all know I love y'all, love y'all, love y'all. Remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. You can also hit me up on Carly's_Galaxy on Instagram. You can hit me up at Carlotta72 and see Chatwood Show on X. And you can hit me up on Threads and also, you know, Threads, you got the link on Instagram for chat. I don't know what to do on Instagram. But TikTok is Keisha Carlotta, okay? Carlotta, all right? Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. And I hope y'all, listen, let me just say this, okay? I joke on this show. I have fun. Carlotta, you joke about Beyonce. Listen, I like Beyonce. I know y'all be, some of the be happy, like, really, but listen, I do like Beyonce. I do come, I just say my opinion, okay? But I appreciate all of y'all so much for listening, even when you don't like what I have to say, even when, you know, y'all talking about your face. Thank you so much for listening and appreciating the show. And I'm glad I can make y'all laugh. I'm glad y'all have a good time when you listen to it or whatever. I appreciate y'all. Don't take me so serious. I tell you, when I do have a good time, it's just my opinion on pop culture or whatever. It's nothing, you know, nothing big, okay? But I hope y'all enjoyed. I hope I can make y'all laugh. I hope this show serves to just, for those of who listen to it and get to hear it, it just serves to make the day a little bit brighter. So some people could tell me, Carlotta, you have to get out some of the news in hip-hop and pop culture. I'm like, I don't give no too much on hip-hop, but I appreciate that y'all listen to it like that, okay? And thank you so much. It's fun. I appreciate it, okay? So we're going to leave out tonight with Coffee Brown After Party, okay? It's the CC show. I'm out. See y'all. Bye.
And you don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Keep it on. You don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Where the party at?
After the party. About it. What's going through your mind as we say?